It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Well, we've had the iPhone 5 for a few days now. Our review, we'll talk about the Maps snafu and a whole lot more. It's coming up next with Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 318, recorded September 25th, 2012. Lost again. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code MacBreak. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone. Find out what your gadget's worth and get cash to upgrade to the latest iPhone at gazelle.com. And by Ford. Ford invites tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab your tech geek badge at social.ford.com. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, visit audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers I can't say the Mac news. We'll dig. Somebody sent me a nasty email last week saying, you just talked about the iPhone 5. Well,
it was being released.
Excuse me. Guess what? There's going to be a lot of iPhone 5 news today, too. And if I can find any Mac news, I promise you, I will insert it at some point. But first, let's introduce our fine panel. Starting to my left with Andy Inatko from the Chicago Sun-Times, who's been doing a little camera testing on the iPhone 5. We'll talk about that in a moment. Stranger, Alex Lindsay is in the house.
So good to be here.
Nice to have you. Really appreciate your being here.
It's my pleasure.
I'll ask you where you've been and where you're going a little bit later on. But first, let's say hi to Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine, macworld.com, the Mac Daddy.
Hey, hello,
Chris.
Leo.
It's good to have you. Welcome.
Thanks.
We got the A-team for this show because, yes, the new iPhone's here. Got it on Friday. Everybody got theirs?
I didn't get it.
What?
I mean, I have decision paralysis.
Well, I don't blame you.
It's funny because, you know, this is what Apple's been so good at avoiding is decision paralysis. Like, they give you only a handful of...
Right.
And so for me, I had declared that I was going to go to Verizon because I was tired of AT&T. And then everyone talked me out of it online
They were wrong. But go ahead.
Well, so I'm still...
I'll tell you why. You want to know why they were wrong?
Why were they wrong?
First of all, we have LTE in here in Petaluma. Can I just show you the speeds that I'm getting on this thing?
Do you think you'll miss the data and the voice?
No, but that is the negative. And then you know the one. Okay, let me run a speed test. And while we're talking, I'll tell you the other great thing about this because you travel a lot.
Right.
Verizon did not lock the SIM card.
Look at that.
Now it's actually slowed down quite a bit. This is interesting.
It's because everyone knows. Now.
Everybody knows got their now. IPhone. So only 8.5 megabits down. Wow, this is lots slower than it was. I'll show you the
previous because everybody got their iPhones.
And 5 meg... Oh, wait a minute. I'm on my Wi-Fi. Let me turn off Wi-Fi.
No wonder.
We wouldn't want to use something slow like your iPhone.
No wonder it's so slow. Wow, what's wrong with this?
LTE is faster than the copper that's actually going through my office.
Can you believe that? I mean, that really is true, though. I mean, wow, that's slow. Oh, it's Wi-Fi.
I get about 35 to 40 megabits.
Yeah, now watch. Stand back. 55 millisecond ping, which is excellent. You see why I was disappointed. 27.5 megabits down. The upload actually is really bad right now. That's interesting because usually it's about 5 or 6 megabits. It was only 1.5 megabits. Still more than adequate for a phone.
Well,
so that's the argument. That's Verizon LTE. We don't get AT&T LTE.
And traveling is better with Verizon.
Overseas. Because they didn't lock the GSM SIM chip.
So you can pop your SIM.
You could run an AT&T phone on this thing, a SIM chip card on this. And they asked Verizon, are you going to fix it? They said no. Now, I wonder if they did it by accident.
Or on purpose.
Or on purpose. But this is an unlocked GSM phone and a CDMA phone.
So to me, that outweighs the fact that you can't do voice and data. How often do you do voice and data?
All the time.
Oh, well.
I'm talking on the phone, going to a map. You know, because I'm driving or something. Like, not driving. But
that's the only negative of using a Sprint or Verizon iPhone 5.
What's funny is that AT&T, you know, people talk me out of it, and then I was going to get an AT&T, and so yesterday I didn't order one because I couldn't decide what I wanted.
So your paralysis was not on the phone itself; it was on the carrier.
I was going to get an iPhone. It was just like which one,
right?
So then I called AT&T, and I was going to go pick one up in Santa Rosa yesterday because it said, you know, 2 or 3 weeks delivery after the first day. So I was like, I'll just pick one up. So I called them and they said that I still had to pay $400. You know, AT&T was not going to give me the upgrade. You know, so I was going to have to pay $400 for the phone rather than just getting, you know, whatever, the $200 for the phone, whatever the number is. And so I got stuck. So I had to pay, you know, so I had to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, well, those are all reasons to think.
But so now it caused me to pause.
Because you paused, you snooze, you lose, dude.
No.
What is the wait time now?
Oh, they get a small shipment of them at the Apple stores like every day.
So you just show up at the right time?
I show up in the morning. You know, I mean, eventually, I won't show up in the morning. You know, someone will show up in the morning.
Right.
So the so I'll get one this week.
So the story
is I'm going to get Verizon.
That you could get voice and data. I know I say this so that people, because I know I'm going to get emails. But wait a minute, on my Galaxy S3, I get voice and data on Verizon. That's because they put three antennas in. You have to have an extra antenna if you're going to do that. And Apple elected not to do that. Partly, I imagine, to keep it small and thin and light. So Andy, did you get an iPhone 5 or you probably have a review unit?
I'm trying to decide whether I want to buy one or not.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to use something day for day, I can't use a loan or I can't use someone else's property. And I'm trying to figure out whether my only problem with the iPhone 5 is I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of the shape of it because it's longer, but I personally don't find longer phones as useful as larger phones.
I agree.
And so I'm trying to figure out if maybe I want to stick around with my 4S. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the LTE is fantastic. I mean, I've never had LTE on my primary phone, and that's so alluring to be able we've all been in that situation where we need to get some mail down, or we need to send something or post something before we can just pack up and leave, or because your flight is boarding, and oh man, 4G is just nothing compared to LTE.
So, are you on AT&T LTE or Verizon LTE?
I'm on AT&T, which is another factor because I'm grandfathered in on both my right. iPad and my iPhone, and so I'm not sure if I want to get rid of unlimited data just yet. Although they, you know, whether it continues to be functionally unlimited as opposed to simply legally unlimited, that remains to be seen.
And do you have test results on the LTE on your AT&T?
Yeah, it's pretty damn sick. It's a little bit slower than the Verizon, but the fastest speed I got in downtown Boston was, I believe, something like 30. A little over 30 megabits per second.
Holy cow. Yeah, I think it's very much dependent on where you are. I mean, it seems that most of the magazines say, PC Mag does these tests and so forth, that LTE is fastest on AT&T. Yeah. But I think the differences aren't huge, and it's really fast. I mean, it's funny. I'm tempted, for instance, to do my app updates on LTE on Wi-Fi. I'm going to hit that cap real quick.
Yeah, yeah I have...
Isn't that the frustrating thing, though? Because you still get those warnings if you want to update like iPhoto. It says, "I'm sorry, the software update is more than 40 megabytes. I refuse to let you download it." But it's going to take slower to download it over Wi-Fi.
I want it now. Chris Breen, what do you have there?
I have this fine device right here.
That's a Nokia.
This is a rocker.
No, it's a rocker.
I don't know if you've seen one of these before, but it's amazing.
I think you could put 100 songs on there.
You could put 100 songs on here, and it only takes about an hour to sync them. and I think there's like 1 megapixel back here in the camera. So this is a really amazing device.
I think it's actually 1.2.
That was the first first phone deal that Apple did.
Yeah, this is the very first iPhone, and that's what it's good for.
By the way, you can do that, and it still works.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, this, on the other hand, shatters.
No, yeah, don't. Please.
Yeah, so I didn't get an iPhone 5 because last year I wasn't up to contract, and so I went and got my 4S, and they charged me $750.
I know. Off contract, it's so expensive.
So this year I went back and said, well, great, I paid full boat for it last time, so I should get the discount. And they said, no, if you want it now, you're going to have to pay $750.
What?
Yeah.
Did you do something that automatically increased your contract or something?
Nothing. No, I've never left the contract. I've always been on, but I've upgraded every single year. And for some reason,
You know, the scam they play, I think, is even if you pay full freight, if you upgrade, your clock starts ticking again.
Right.
So you're at 1 year.
Every year that they've had this, there's always been AT&T says, well, we're going to ignore it this time.
They didn't do it this time.
This time. And I was told there's the scuttlebutt from my Twitter followers is that it's something to connect with the unlimited usage. So if you're an unlimited user, it appears, the rumor is that you're getting different, you're getting treated differently than...
Right, because I am an unlimited user.
Yep, and I am too. And that's when I got...
When I look at that price, I think Verizon really looks tempting at this point.
Oh, I'm done. I mean, after having that conversation, I was kind of taken aback by it because I'm a pretty high usage user. and I was kind of taken aback that that I wasn't going to get upgraded. And it took me a day to think about it, and I've decided I'm just going to drop AT&T.
Well, and as Andy intimated, unlimited on AT&T merely means that you
get throttled
at your
right.
And throttled so badly that you might as well not use it.
Right.
So
yeah, so I'm moving over, but that's why I didn't have it today. And then I had to.
Are you going to go to the store tomorrow and get it?
Yeah, most likely tomorrow or Thursday.
I think you can make a reservation ahead, right? You call ahead and say I want that.
They
one.
Said right now it's like
you can't do that.
Not
you
right now.
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
Have you tried just going to Verizon store? That's where I've been sending people, and they've all been said, "Yep."
I may break down and go to the Verizon store. The problem when you go to any of the phone stores is that it is a like dealing with the Apple Care and everything else is just much more of a pain.
Really interesting phenomenon. Apple says we sold 5 million iPhone 5s in the first weekend. That's 1 million more than they sold
in
the 4S. And the stock market.
You mean it wasn't 10?
Rejected.
It wasn't 10? At least 8?
Because some boneheaded analyst said it was going to be 10. And so everybody said, well, it's not 10. What a disappointment 5 million phones in 2 days is. What is wrong with this world? Anyway, if you ask me, it's a chance to get Apple stock at a reduced price. I don't buy stock, but if you were going to do that, all it means is the stock market's stupid.
But they're always stupid.
That's nothing to do with users, so... with them.
Yeah.
I mean, if analysts were, I bet all analysts who like make predictions like that, their children tend to move out of the house and join the Navy at age 17. And the third time that happens, maybe the other spouse wonders, maybe it has something to do with your parenting technique, Bill, that they all want to leave you because they know they can never make you happy.
I love
Son, I projected that you were going to get an A this term.
I love
you got
the,
an A minus.
I love the after the fact justifications that the nutty analysts had for why they missed the mark, you know? And I have to say, it doesn't seem credible because now you're backpedaling and saying, well, no, it would have been 10 if, and this consensus seems to be, there was a constraint on some piece of the... Gene Munster, who's, you know, the Piper Jaffray analyst, who said it was going to be 6 to 10 million... They actually 8 million. So he says, this morning, Apple announced the sale of 5 million iPhone 5Ss in the first weekend. Compared to our 8 million estimate, we believe there are two factors that negatively impacted the number. Two reasons we got it wrong. First, our sales expectation assumed Apple would include all phones pre-ordered online. Apparently, Apple's not allowed to count those phones until they are signed for by the customer. Second, we noted, and it goes on and on, our 8 million estimate assumed full weekend availability and the counting of all online pre-orders. This is the one where I think everybody's kind of saying this. We believe if supply were not a constraint and all Apple pre-orders were counted, the launch weekend number would have been close to 7 or 8 million. In other words, our number. It seems to be there's a lot of people saying it's this new screen. LG couldn't make enough of these screens.
It's always something.
It's always something.
Because when you have to make 5 million of anything,
this has happened year after year.
Right.
That you know, they have so many iPhones and then they're out, and then you order, for example, and you say, yes, you'll get yours next week. And then 48 hours later, they say, oh, well, actually, it's going to be 2 weeks. And now it's going to be 3 weeks. So for them to use this as an excuse that, oh, well, supplies were constrained, yes, that's what happens.
As always.
This happens every single time. Yeah. So, you know, the real problem is you don't know what you're talking about.
It seems to me if you'd taken the 4 million of last year and added 1 million, that would be about right. And next year, guess what? It'll be 6 million, right?
Whatever number the iPhone is, add 1 to that.
There you go. So iPhone 5.
And S stands for half a million. So next one's going to be 5.5 million. So
Andy's Law. Andy's Law of iPhone sales.
I think, I admit this is the equivalent of, remember, sometimes they do those little stock contests where they have 5 different analysts go against just a monkey, like, popping balloons. I am that monkey popping balloons on trying to predict.
You win. Congratulations. Hey, do you remember, did anybody keep track of what our predictions were? Because I think I said some silly number, like 8 million as well.
I think I said a lot. 10 million.
10 million, I think you said.
I usually am.
Andy, I think you got it right.
I remember saying, I think it was somewhere around 4 or 5, but again, I was just.
I think you got it right. But we're not as well connected as Horace Dedieu or, Gene Munster. Those guys are connected. They know. In any event, I think we can say this, and I'm sure Apple said it. This is the best selling iPhone in history, the fastest selling iPhone in history. Once again, they broke all records. And, you know, as always, it's so predictable. So. The curve now is very standard, and I'm sure it'll be this way for a while. The result comes out, the iPhone is announced, and the trade press and the pundits are disappointed. Oh, it's only a evolutionary, not revolutionary. This one's just boring. Then the sales numbers come out, and it's the best-selling iPhone ever. And then they all backpedal. And then the next step, which is now what's happening, they start finding flaw. So the flaw finding, maps, number one. Let's take a break and talk about maps. And then we'll also talk about whether people are getting scratches. I haven't had any bevel scratches.
I haven't had any at all.
Yours is still pristine in the box on a truck somewhere. Yeah.
Well, you don't know that.
His is probably still in Shenzhen, China. We'll also talk about the riots in the Foxconn plants and a lot more. But first, a word from our friends at Citrix who do that great go-to meeting, which you can do, by the way, on an iPad and iPhone. So you start a meeting on a Mac or a Windows PC from your office. You set up the meeting ahead of time. You can use your email and send out links, which is really great. Works really well. Everybody now has an email. It's on their calendar, too, and that's how I have it set up. So it automatically imports to the calendar. Thank you. Look at that. This just appeared. Thank you. Burke McQuinn, ladies and gentlemen, ask for a USB micro mini, and he provides it. I'll explain why I wanted that in a little bit. This is the original Android phone. We're just going to compare the original iPhone and the original Android phone.
Ooh.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. Nowadays, people are moving all over the place. Their offices are spread out all over the world. Nobody sits still. So if you want to have a staff meeting or a sales pitch or if you want to meet with people, you got to have to do it online. And if you're going to do it online, please use the best GoToMeeting. And I'll tell you a few reasons why this is the one you want to use. First of all, very affordable. GoToMeeting, $49 a month for as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. What would you say is the average amount of money a company spends on a teleconferencing setup? Though, you know, where they have the camera, the big, I don't want to say the brand name.
Oh,
you know
thousands,
what I'm talking about. Tens of thousands.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want, it's like, it could be $100,000 to set up a bridge.
$49 a month. And by the way, these look every bit as good. I got to say, the new HD Faces is spectacular. And since every computer now has a HD camera on it, even your iPad has a great camera on it, so it's fast, it's secure, it's easy to set up a meeting.
The expense you want to look at also is not just the cost of other teleconferencing, but just the cost of bringing people into town.
You're saving so much money. This is a way to save money. Very easy to invite people. Very easy for them to join, even if they don't have the software on their machine, which in most cases they don't. It's just a few seconds to download the software, start running it. You turn on your webcam, they turn on their webcam, and you're seeing in crystal clear HD video, you're seeing each other, I have to say. And yes, you can join a meeting on an iPhone or an iPad. Right now, the video is only on the iPad. The audio's on the iPhone, but I would be willing to bet that soon they'll have a video on the iPhone as well. And it's just, I mean, it makes a huge difference to be able to see your clients or your colleagues in these meetings. I want you to try it free for 30 days, not $49 a month, but free for the next month. Visit GoToMeeting.com and use our offer code MacBreak. GoToMeeting.com, use the offer code MacBreak. Put it on your Mac or your PC. throw a few meetings, have a meeting party, and try it. Show your clients, your colleagues, show your boss. I think they'll be impressed. Unless they spend $100,000 on a teleconferencing room down the hall, in which case you could get fired. So don't try.
Wait a minute.
You mean yes? We spent yes. It's got screen sharing, everything. Go to meeting.com. Use the offer code MacBreak. All right, let's talk maps. It's interesting to see the back and forth on this. If you live in the Falkland Islands, admittedly,
not a lot of roads.
You don't want to use the Maps app on the iPhone 5. As you all know, I'm sure by now, the iOS 6 upgrade, whether it's an iPhone 5 or an older iPhone or iPad, does not include the old Maps app, which was not, I wanted to say Google Maps. It's not a Google Maps app. It's an Apple Maps app that uses Google data. And that's important. Apple was the one that wrote that app, but they used Google data. They decided to stop using Google data. That's really what the change has been. So let's make that clear. In both cases, those were Apple apps, right? But they've stopped using Google data. They're now using their own mapping data. They bought data from TomTom and other sources. They've got traffic data built in. And there have been complaints. In fact, perhaps some hubris on Apple's part, thinking, hey, no problem. Easy to do a Maps app. So in some areas, it's terrible. But, you know, I just saw an article that said it's the best mapping app, far better than Google Maps, in China. Because it turns out that Apple bought its China mapping data from a Chinese company. Google was using its own data, and the Chinese data is much better on apps. So
if you visit China, an iPhone 5 is the way to go.
Well, and by the way, that's a pretty big market for Apple. So I think the first thing to say is
all the factory workers have an easy time getting to work.
Yeah, right. You can get to your
directions.
You can get to your bunk.
If they
had a bunk. It's really dependent on where you are.
Right.
If you're in San Francisco Bay Area, as we are, maps work flawlessly. Chris, have you tried using the maps on the iPhone 5?
Yeah, I've used them, and I'm out in the sticks a little bit outside the Bay Area, and it seems to be working fine. But like you, I've heard lots of reports from people who do a side-by-side comparison with the old Maps app and the new one and say, well, look, here's the detail on the old one, and there are lots and lots of roads. And the new one, there's like two roads, and so people are naturally not very happy with it.
One of our chatters who's in Japan says if you're in Japan, it's horrible.
The one thing about the Google Maps in Japan is it works really, really well. I mean, so you're able to get subway information. I mean, every time I'm there, I mean, you can really enjoy Tokyo.
Well, that's another thing missing. On transit iPhone. Information is gone from these.
Is really
so is Street View. So those are two things that are gone that Google does and others do not. You can, you know, there's what is it called? Hopstop. There's some good transit apps, but Google,
there's a button for it, and it will ask you to go ahead to the App Store and download a free or paid app to get this done. So it's at least a third party app that will be integrated in there. But that's a big hit.
So a couple of things. First of all, is this a problem?
Yeah. I think in the short term it's a problem. I think the issue that Apple, I mean, you think that Apple would learn from the past every once in a while. I know they look into the future and not in the past, but with Final Cut Pro, they released a brand new version. They got rid of the old version immediately, and everyone freaked out.
Right.
If they had left the other version and added the new version and had them run parallel for a little while, we all would have, like, no one would have freaked out. Or they're not freaking out. The problem is that by just shutting off one app and then giving everybody a new app that doesn't work as well as the first app for some people, I think that's what's getting them into a lot of hot water. They could have put this out as a quote-unquote beta, you know, and run it for 2 or 3 months before they got rid of the other one. I mean, that's the only thing that I'd say.
It's a different situation, though. I mean, the problem with Final Cut 10 was it was functional for what it did. All the features that were there worked. People were upset that they'd removed a couple of features and that the user interface was so different. With Maps, your first weekend with this was probably a horrible experience. And in the Boston area, I wasn't there. There's a point with a brand new piece of technology where I'm not even trying to test it. I'm not trying to make it break. I'm just trying to use it the way a consumer would. And for the first few days, it was a total fail. Where I would try to get it to route
But that gets to my point, is that they just leaving Google Maps available would have been, you know, had a lot less people. Like, just have this come out as a beta and run for 3 months and figure out these issues before you took it away from everybody.
Well, to be fair, we don't know what all the issues are. Google is saying that Google CEO was had a sort of an off-the-cuff remark about saying that they would have been open to the idea of letting Apple continue to use Google Maps, although he didn't go into details of, well, did you ask for like $3 billion a year to license it? You don't know what point it was where Apple and Google decided that they weren't going to continue the agreement. So I'm not going to say whether Apple had the option of doing Google Maps integrated.
No, but I don't mean using Google Maps in their own app. I mean start their own app completely running on its own 3 months ago on the old OS and have it just running and trying to figure out what these issues are while we still had a map program available to us. You know, whereas now, I mean, you can go to maps.google.com or whatever in your browser, and that's what some people are doing. So that's the workaround. It just seems like it's if you bookmark that and put it in there, it's almost the same experience as what you had before. So that's a fine backup. But I just think that the idea of cutting it off, I think that's what's cutting off for one. And I know that does get the adoption. That's going to increase their sample rate because a lot of people just wouldn't work once and then just stop using it. So I get that it's increasing their sample rate, but I think that that's where they're getting a lot of the heat. And I think that they'll sort it out. I mean, I think that they're going to have to spend a lot of money to fix it.
It will get better, and as a matter of fact, it already started getting better on the first
really
couple
already.
Of days. Well, I did notice that I took a screen. I was taking screenshots of problems, and one of the first problems I found was that if you ask it where is the public garden in the city of Boston, it would take you about 7 blocks away to a mall that is certainly not the public garden, which is weird because in my screenshot you actually see on the map. Here is the public garden that is marked by the map as the public garden, but the destination that it chose for you was actually way, way far away.
Well, and that, by the way, is something Nokia and Google both have said. It's not just the data. It's the massaging of the data. It's the integration of data from a variety of disparate sources like Yelp and TomTom that is tough.
Right. And I tried to get a better screenshot with 3D view off the iPad, and that was 3 days later, and it already fixed it. Public garden. You get to the right place, but I do feel as though the maps issue is kind of a purity test for whether you are capable of judging Apple objectively. Because there are some people who are saying, "Oh God, no! Everyone looks for an opportunity to bash Apple." But again, for the first 2 or 3 days, I would ask it to send me to some place. It would take me 7 miles out of where I actually wanted to go. There would be places where I would ask, where is the closest post office or something? And I'd be standing in front of a post office. I would say, I think there's one in Cambridge if you want to hitchhike 40 miles away. It's like, oh, come on.
So I don't
think it's a disaster. I mean, like, it really is just a case of all they have to do is make sure that the data that people are plugging into is better. And that's something they could easily change from their end. So I don't think it's a Hindenburg style disaster, but you have to acknowledge that. No, this does not, at least in this first week, it did not work properly.
And how important is it that it did?
Absolutely, because it's sort of like, imagine if the camera had such a horrible white balance problem that everybody looked like Mr. Spock. It's one of the first things people try with their brand new gadget. It's not the sort of thing where it's subtle, where you can say, well, gosh, they promised that it was better in low light, but this one, I'm not sure if it's actually better in low light for anything else. Either it sends you to the place where you want to go, or you'll wind up in a vacant lot. And when you wind up in a vacant lot, you don't say, well, you know, what a monumental task it is to create a brand new mapping search. This is a 1.0. You say, stupid piece of crap, and now I'm locked into this thing for 2 years.
Well, there is a good point, which is if you use Siri, you are going to use Apple Maps. That's what Siri integrates with. I mean, I've been saying, well, there's other map apps. As you said, you could use Google's web page. There are lots of good I've always used GPS Drive because I want to turn by turn.
But the issue is with all these integrations. Yeah,
they don't integrate
support.
With Siri.
Right. Yeah. And it's
Waze is a great example of a mapping, crowdsourced mapping app that just works great.
Sometimes. We had Waze and it was like all over Tampa. Yeah, like we were like, really? You know, I don't think this is the fastest way to get there. So,
but because it is Apple and it's an Apple app and it's integrated tightly into
Siri.
And
they sold it so heavily. I mean, I think the big issue is that saying we're going to experiment with something new or we're working on something. I know it's not very Apple to say that, but.
Well, they did it with Siri. Siri's still beta.
Yeah,
go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was also thinking that this only underscores this idea that Apple will go for the whizzy rather than the practical. And I think, you know, once we get outside our little circle of technologists, a normal person picks up this phone and says, okay, what is this app doing for me that the old one didn't? What is better about this? And that Apple might say, oh, look, you get these 3D views.
Right.
Okay, pretty, don't use it.
Yeah.
What I really want is to be able to see the color of the building I'm going to be going to by having Street View. Can I have that? No, you can't have that. Okay.
And by the way, you'll probably never have that because how many years has Google been collecting right. that? They have a monopoly. Because, they have a lock on it.
Right. So what Apple does is gives us helicopters and airplanes, right. which looks cool, but I can't see the color of this market I'm going to in, from the helicopter view. So I think the first impression is that this is not better than what I had before. Why not? And some people might say, well, Apple's having a tiff with Google or the other way around, and that's why you don't get it. Well, I don't care as a consumer that they have a problem with each other. I just want the best technology on my phone. Now, that Maps app may turn out to be that, but I think, as Alex says, it would have been nice to have some kind of transition period, if possible, so that we could have the old technology and say, oh, yeah, this looks cool. This is going to be good in 3 months once they have more data. But right now, I'm going to stick with what I had before.
And I think that Apple has an opportunity to look at what Google's done, for instance, with Street View. I mean, that is something that's just it's just a question of money, you know what I mean, which Apple has. And if Apple wanted to spend $2 or $3 billion mapping, you know, a lot of the major areas, they could catch up pretty quickly. I mean, that technology is, while it's pretty cool, it is definitely not
Yeah, but if there's one thing we're learning now in the smartphone market is it's so competitive, you may not have time to catch up. This is the lesson Microsoft has learned with Windows Phone is that so somebody in our chat room, Web5812, said, that's why I'm considering Android. You're now in a very competitive marketplace. And if maps are important to you and Street View is important to you, I think everybody, not just tech pundits, but real people know, oh, well, if you get an Android phone, you're going to have a better map experience now built into the phone because you, and Street View. Now, there is a question. Is Google, and this is unclear. Eric Schmidt was kind of evasive yesterday when asked about this. But is Google making the Maps app available on iOS?
And I think that's a complicated question for Google because if they leave Apple hanging and don't produce that app, then it really puts a lot of pressure on the phone.
It's good for Android, right. but it may also cause the federal government to get involved, right? Or the
maybe,
EU.
But I mean, you know.
But it really isn't this a fascinating soap opera, though? Because even if Google says, well, this is our opportunity to reinforce how important and how valuable our map service is, we're not going to mess around with our customers. We're going to let them have this app immediately. And they scramble. They make sure that whatever they've been building before then is ready to go. They submit it to the Apple Store. Now they have to wonder whether or not Apple's going to approve this wonderful Maps app. And so there are a lot of variables here.
Let me find what the Eric Schmidt article, and I'll read you what he said because he was cagey, but I think I understand what he was talking about.
In the past, Apple has turned down apps that you know directly compete with apps that are shipping with the phone, and so they haven't done that all the time. But remember that
they got investigated by the Department of Justice. And a member of Congress asked them for an explanation why Google Voice wasn't in the store, and after that, they stopped. Holding, for instance, Chrome right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Apple, this is a little bit chastened Apple when it comes to that. So Eric Schmidt was talking to reporters in Tokyo yesterday. Here's what he said. This is from Reuters. The quote was, Apple would, quote, have to approve. We haven't done anything yet with Google Maps. Apple would have to approve it. It's their choice. Implying that they hadn't, in fact, written an app to submit to the store. But I think it's more complicated than that because I think, in fact, Google wouldn't just, like any other third party, write an app and then say, oh, hey, Apple, here's an app. That these companies are too big and too intertwined that Google and Apple are having conversations at a higher level than that, right?
Right. Well, I think they have to
have that conversation.
So I think
that, in fact, they may not have submitted a map to the store, but that doesn't mean that they aren't currently having conversations about what it would take to get a map on iPhone, right?
I would be shocked if they knew the date circled on the calendar when their agreement with Apple ends and they were not prepared with an app at least built and ready to go so that if they wanted to deploy it on iOS, they could do so.
I agree.
Conversations with people that make me think that that is a real thing as opposed to an idea that they're kicking around.
They've got the app. I don't think Google is going to submit it to the App Store and say, okay, it's now up to Apple. I think Google and Apple are having higher level conversations at this point. And what are those conversations, Chris? What is Google asking for? What is Apple asking for?
Well, I think that it's probably best for Google not to call this week and say, wow, how about that Maps app, eh? might be rubbing a little salt in the wound. I think you want to wait another couple of weeks as things get better for the Maps app and some of the, you know, the scab is healed a little bit. And yeah, I think certainly they have, you know, the red phone there at Apple HQ, and Google picks up their end and Apple picks up their end after the flunkies have dealt with each other. And finally they say, okay, is this going to go or is this not going to go? And then Apple says, okay, what we want from you is X. So we want some of your data, for example. And Google says, okay, but we want a prominent place on your store and we want to be able to use our stuff here. And we don't want you knocking off X, Y, and Z functionality because it competes with your Maps app. I don't know. I think it is politically interesting because Apple certainly has the power to say, no, you can't be on here. But then you're inviting the feds in, as you've said. So, I don't know what each one of them wants. I think that Apple is still irritated with Google and far more than that.
Well, I think that there's
time for them to let that go, though.
And I think one of the issues is that Apple has the situation where they are, it's a lot of people really dependent on an application made by someone else who makes a competitive platform. And it's very easy for Google to continue, you can look at the trajectory and say, well, you could definitely see how Google Maps could always work better on Android than they do on on the iPhone, and that in the long term, Apple doesn't have control of its destiny, in that area. Given that the company making that application is a direct competitor to that phone.
Same reason Apple pulled the YouTube app and let YouTube, but they let Google put a YouTube app on there.
Right, they just want to be able to develop their own technology so that they can continue to compete. Now the question is, how long will it take them to catch up, and how much will people care? I mean, I think that for the most part, people getting the right directions to where they're going is going to be the thing that is going to be the thing that they notice the most. Then the next thing is for them to go through and fix all those DEM files. The DEM files are the digital elevation maps. So you see those big cliffs that you're seeing in the it's because there's the satellite takes those in squares. I used to make software that dealt with DEM files.
This is in the 3D rendering.
So what happens in the 3D rendering, you see all those big cliffs. And what happens is that the satellites take those images in squares. Those are USGS satellites for the most part. And at the very edges, there's blend issues. And so what happened, obviously, was that someone didn't manage that very well. And so that you have to go through and really do a lot of work. There's actually one guy that they should just hire. They should just hire Mark Granger.
The rumor is that they're actively Apple, taking contractors who worked on Google Maps. They're actively seeking them out.
Well, to fix that 3D area, that's the one guy that probably knows more about it than anyone else in the world. But that's where you're seeing those cliffs, and that can be fixed pretty quickly. The harder part is getting the directions right, getting the transit right, and then Street View is, I don't know when they...
But as Chris pointed out, the 3D view is eye candy, not useful to anybody. I mean, this is pretty. Yeah, Google does it, but I don't know how useful that is.
I got to say that I disagree with that.
I disagree too.
Exactly. I mean, nothing can give you as a pedestrian or even as a driver a better sense of the spatial relationships between this place you need to get to than being able to make that tour around. I mean, I've been to the Chicago Sun-Times building several times, but only after spending 20 minutes essentially in a helicopter being able to see that building from every angle that I really start to understand here's where it is in relationship to the Merchandise Mart. Here's where it is in relationship to the Sears Tower, to Millennium Park.
And that's better than the Street View capability?
It's better. I think that the 3D view is better up until the point where you're within two blocks of the place.
So for a 30,000 foot view, that's what you want.
Well, to get you within a block or two of the place, right, I would be relying on 3D view. Right. When it comes to that point where you need to know what door is this, and okay, there are three doors, you know which one it is. Obviously, you would love to have Street View.
Right.
And also Street View is also used for things like when I went to San Francisco before my plane even took off, I was touring that neighborhood street by street to see, okay, I can get lunch there, or okay, good, there's a post office right there where I can go. You just like to have that little boots on the ground intel that only Street View can give you. It is a big loss not to have Street View available.
But this is something. And by the way, Google's doing the same thing. Everybody's doing the same 3D. Actually, it was Nokia, I think, that started all this. This is the cliff thing you were talking about where you get these weird distortions in the buildings.
And if you look at Bing Maps.
Which is Nokia.
Yeah, that's at a whole different level. So this is, I mean, like, you know, if you look at this image compared it to the what you're seeing on the phone.
So you're saying the Nokia phone.
Oh, yeah, that's
much
way
better.
Way, way better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, now the one thing that...
And Nokia, by the way, bought Telenav, so they have their own built-in, very high-quality mapping capabilities.
Yeah. Right. Makes you think about how they're going to leverage that for the new Lumia Windows phone.
Exactly.
Because I was with the with Windows 7.5 on the Lumia 900, I was already pretty impressed with not only how good the mapping were, but also how well it was integrated into anything that you needed map information for.
They have NavTech. I keep confusing Telenav and NavTech. NavTech is Nokia's, Telenav is Ericsson's. But the point being that they have, like Google, they've been doing this for years. It's interesting. We talked about this on Twitter on Sunday. What it really was the perception of these companies in a few years, what was going to be very important was mobile, was location, right. And we need to be a player in here. And Apple's actually late to that game, as they were with social as well. They
never figured social out.
And I think it was the contention. I want to say Peter Rojas of Gadget, who was had that contention that that Apple is. The difference is Apple's not a software company. They're a hardware company. They're a computer company. And so it's taken them a while to get the idea of mobile, of location, of social, whereas a company like Google, which is essentially a services, web services company, it's a little bit more their native tongue.
Right. Well, and I think that if Apple wants to catch up in this area, if they've decided to take the plunge, they're really going to have to invest in making those apps. They're going to have to take some of that... some of the kitty.
It's really important.
I mean, this is really for Apple a $5 or $10 billion problem that they have to solve.
It's a revenue problem,
and they need to solve it quickly. And they need, and it sounds like that they're trying to hire just about anybody who's worked on maps in the past. But I think that they're going to have to. You know, there's a lot of places they could improve the maps to go past that. Like for instance, the Street View is fine. The problem with the Street View is that it is a lot of the stuff is old at this point. I went to try to get a sandwich in London and went to a place that was closed because it was gone. I mean, Street View was fine.
And that's Google.
Well, it's Google. I'm just saying that finding ways to update that faster and also really looking at.
I think both Google and Apple are relying on things like Yelp for that.
Well,
Google Places.
But what tends to happen for me is that I tend to, like, if I find the only time I use Street View is I get to something that says there's a subway there or there's something else there, and then I go, show me Street View so I can actually see the store to make sure that wasn't just an errant, attachment to the map. That's the only time I ever use Street View is to know what the store looks like or where or if it really is there.
And to emphasize this is more than just another app on the phone.
Yeah, it's like the app that almost you use probably more than any other app.
And it's a revenue, a huge amount of revenue potential for it. It's a very important thing for these companies. And so Apple, it seems just as they did with Ping, underestimated the importance and the difficulty of doing it. Were they premature in pulling the plug on Google Maps? Should they have waited another iteration?
They should. Yeah, they should have had them both coexist for a while before they dropped.
But they need, and they're getting. And Andy, to your point, they're getting obviously from users the corrections. And if they get everybody who uses an iPhone to enter these corrections in, maybe they'll get better faster. Right?
Apple has $100 billion
in the bank.
Exactly. I mean, you've got $100 billion. I'm not even really joking here when I say that. Wouldn't it be great if they simply put a bounty on? We will give you one free song for every five.
There you go.
Accepted corrections that you make to our maps. That would solve. There would be people who would actually be driving around trying to earn the new Kylie Minogue album.
So here's if you're looking at the iOS 6 Maps application from Apple, when you press up the little page turn thing, it's hard to see, but it says data from TomTom and others. By the way, TomTom was very quick to say, hey, our map apps works fine. It's not our fault. And then in a little fine print, I pressed the wrong button, right above the printer button, it says report a problem, and you can... Search results are incorrect. Street or other is incorrect. Location is missing. Problem with satellite image. My problem isn't listed. And you can, they invite you to do this. But you,
so Chris, the poor sap on the other side of that. It's like they're getting like 10,000 of those.
I know.
This isn't an emergency room and I'm still bleeding. Please send an ambulance.
Yeah, as these problems emerged over the weekend, people would post about it, and you'd hear people saying, well, you just have to keep using it to help Apple. That's not my job. My job is for them to give me a working product. And so that I don't get a refrigerator and then say, oh, by the way, it doesn't make ice. Let me keep reporting this problem until you figure out what's wrong with it. I should get a functional.
That's a good point.
Product, you know. So
we did pay a lot for this.
I paid a lot for this thing, and I expect it to work.
Well, and Apple's tagline is "It just works."
It just doesn't
this
work.
Just this just doesn't case. Work. That's the, I mean, yeah. that, and that's
I think they so, forgot so the, to put badly in parentheses.
The three parties here are Apple. Apple probably, you know, they've indicated what they want is for you to use their maps and make it better. There's Google. Google has some interesting motivations here. On the one hand, I think they'd love for this to continue because it makes Android look better, makes Google look better. And then there's the consumers, us. I think we want Google Maps back, right? I mean, isn't that what we want or no?
Not necessarily. We want something that works as well as Google Maps. That might not necessarily be the exact same product. I think that we really have to revisit this in 6 months' time. In 6 months' time, if it's working great and it does everything the old app did and more, no one will remember how much trouble it gave us in the first 3 weeks.
Okay.
I think that's true. I just think that Apple is going to really have to double down. They either have to put the Google in the next 3 months. I would say 3 months. They either have to put the Google Map back on the phone, or they need to have this really working. And they're going to have to do whatever they have to do to make that happen. And I think that that's the issue.
You think that they're going to like invite 100 different like bloggers and journalists to visit the super top secret Apple Maps lab?
You get a ride in a helicopter.
Where they can see exactly how much work goes into the maps.
Google has done that. In fact, they knew that this was going to come up because a week before the iPhone 5 came out, they put out an article that said, we have 400 years of mapping experience. I don't know where that comes from. They pulled the curtain back on the secret mapping world headquarters building and showed how much. I mean, Google's known this is going to happen. Mm. And Google has been spinning like crazy for the last 3 weeks preparing for this. Look how much work we put into it. Now Nokia is doing the same thing. Everybody's piling on.
You're making them sound like these friends who knows that like that their friend of theirs is not going to make it off that skateboard ramp. They're going to hit themselves right in the...
I told you!
And all they're doing is saying, no, totally. You're going to totally make that. Hang on, let me try the before you go.
Yeah, Apple. Oh, yeah, Maps. Easy, easy.
My groin. No, you try it again. My groin. No,
do it again.
It's going to be great.
Do it again.
I mean, I do understand why Apple's doing what they're doing. They have to solve this. I mean, they just have
but
to solve it
quickly.
Aren't
you surprised that they seem to be scrambling now? Before,
yeah. I mean, oh, no. Remember AntennaGate? Remember Ping? I mean, this is not. I mean, people have this notion that Apple makes no mistakes.
But this is the worst. I think this is the worst
is it?
Flaw of any iPhone ever.
Really?
Because people use it so often. I mean, my phone hanging up every once in a while when I hold it the wrong way doesn't really bother me. I just, you know, but the thing is that now, and it's because they took the other one away. I think that's the issue is that when you take, suddenly everybody's like.
You know what I think the worst mistake is? I hate this freaking connector. I had to go out and buy $60 worth of cables because, you know, I'm used to having 30-pin cables everywhere, so I can charge anywhere. We got 30-pin cables coming out of this table. They actually pop out of the table. And
they
I
levitate.
Had to go I had to go buy cuz I have one way to charge his phone in the whole world. I have one way cuz you know when you lose an Apple a 30-pin cable, you just go ask a friend, "Hey, can I?"
Yeah.
I got one way.
Well, it's the same problem with the
same thing with that little adapter for the Retina. I literally had to spend they're $20 each, $60 so I'd have a cable in my car, a cable at the office, and an extra cable because it makes me for my you know my laptop case because I'm makes me nervous.
I just think if they were going to change it, they should have just gone to a mini or a micro. You know,
well, they have apparently good reasons for not doing that. I don't know, but
so on
now we're going to take a break because I do want to ask Chris Breen because I've asked him to do the research to tell us what the hell this thing does and doesn't do, this lightning thing, and where the hell are my adapters so that I can use my docks, and if I use my docks, will I be able to do what I was able to do before? My Sonos dock, my Renew clock, my Mercedes-Benz dock, my BMW dock. My Bentley dock and my Rolls-Royce dock. What am I going to...
And has the headphone jack driving you crazy yet?
Well, it's weird that it comes out of the bottom. But that's, you know, that's life. Mm. Right?
I like that.
You like that. See, I don't like it. Here's why. Because I sit in the car. I put it in the cup holder. And I don't want the screen to be upside down. That's a little weird and anal. But I don't want the screen to be upside down. But I have to because otherwise it's sitting on the headphone connector.
Showtime.
And there's...
That's a little weird.
I'm a little weird and anal. And then there seems to be like there's room here that they could have put it there. I don't know. It just seems like there is room.
Maybe not on the inside.
Maybe not on the inside, I guess. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Chris Breen is going to give us the lowdown on lightning when we come back. This isn't a bitch fest. We will also talk about the good stuff about iOS 5.
And everyone thought we were fanboys. And
No, you know what? I have put aside all others. I have forsaken all others and committed for at least a couple of weeks, which is my average for girlfriends too, to this phone because I want to give it every benefit of the doubt. And I am enjoying using it. You know what? It's you know where you really like it. It's beautiful. It feels nice in the hand. It feels like a work of art.
This gets back to that whole situation where your phone is state of the art until they release another one, and
it
then
is
you're
far,
like,
"This is not state of the art. This is far from state of the art." When I go, I rooted and put Cyanogen Mod CM10 on my Galaxy Nexus 3, so I'd have Jelly Bean on it. This is not even close to state-of-the-art, this iPhone 5. There's so many things that I can do better. But it's beautiful. And you cannot say that about any Android phone. You cannot say, ooh, this could be in the Museum of Modern Art. This is so pretty. It just feels
out. It's just as beautiful as my iPhone 4.
That's hideous. What the hell you put that case on there for? You sacrilege.
Yes, exactly. It is legitimately beautiful. It is legitimately beautiful. But I've been really trying to keep my eyes peeled for how people use their iPhones in the wild, and I almost never see people using something without a case.
I know.
So it's gonna look great for a couple of weeks until they get that shipment in from Amazon, and then it's gonna have a purple Hello Kitty rubber skin on it.
And then you might as well get an Android phone if you're gonna do that. If you put an ugly, ugly-ass case on this work.
If you want an ugly phone, go for Android. That's an endorsement from Leo.
I'm going through a little Galaxy S3 withdrawal. That's really what's going on. I feel a little janky. That's why. It's all right. I'll be okay. You know, if you want to get an iPhone 5, you probably should get rid of your iPhone 4S. Have you gone to Gazelle yet and gotten a quote?
I should.
You should. What? Tell me a little bit about your 4S.
I have a 4S.
Yeah. 4S from which carrier? AT&T, right?
AT&T.
Yeah. And is it the 8, 16,
30, 64.
64.
That's all I get.
You is that how you roll?
That's how I roll.
250. I'm going to assume it's not flawless.
It's good.
Flawless would be 256. So it's only $6 more.
Yeah.
$250. That's it. Put that in a box. They pay the postage. You get a check, and this is guaranteed for 30 days. So go ahead and get those quotes right now. By the way, they wipe the data for you. You don't have to sell it and do all that stuff. They do it all for you. Really, it's about as simple as you can get. Get a box and then go through some other stuff. Maybe some other old phones lying around. They take any iPhone. They'll also take Samsung Galaxies if you have one of them lying around. iPads, iPods, Blackberries, MacBooks, and iMacs. They have traded now 1 million gadgets. They've sent out millions of dollars in payments. It is a great service. GAZ, $50 million in payments. Over 300,000 customers.
We've been talking about gazelling, like, you know, you've seen our basement.
Would you please, our basement, we share a basement. Would you please gazelle some of that crap?
We're going to, like, we need to build a gazelle table.
You've got $10,000 worth of stuff down there.
$10,000.
Hundreds of thousands. Because, you know, Alex buys everything. I've never seen, we get more Amazon boxes every morning. And it's depressing to me because I come in and there's a pile of boxes. I go, oh, is anything for me? They go, no, it's for Pixel Core.
It's not the Amazon boxes you have to worry about. It's the B&H
the other
boxes.
Ones, those are expensive. Yeah. Anyway, if you're like Alex here and you've got a basement full of stuff, sell it. Get some money. You can get a check, of course. They'll give you PayPal if you prefer that. Or, and I recommend this if you're an Amazon buyer, get an Amazon gift card because you get 5% more. And so I buy everything on Amazon, so that's a great deal for me. GAZELLE.com. Please. Don't let those old phones lie around. Somebody wants them. Gazelle. And they'll give you money fast. Recycle the easy way with Gazelle. What were we going to talk about? Has anybody had any scratching?
We're going to ask Chris about
connectors. Lightning connectors. So, Chris, I know Dan Frakes got the straight scoop from Apple itself at Macworld Magazine.
He did.
There has been confusion. Even Apple apparently is a little confused about what this Lightning port will do. First of all, it is not faster. It's USB 2. It's the same speed as the old, which is
right.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, what people are suggesting is it's not the Lightning technology itself, but it's rather something in the devices so that it could be faster, but it just currently isn't.
Okay.
So it's running at USB 2 speeds when you're using the current generation of devices. It's an 8-pin connector instead of 30-pin. Apple claims that it will make for a sturdier connector because you have less space there.
I will agree with that. I like the feeling when it goes in there, it's solid, and it's reversible, which is great.
Well, and the 30-pin was really, I mean, we broke a lot.
It's easy to break those because they have those little notches. Yeah. This feels as solid in there. I have to say, I am tempted to pull the wire because it's such a little connector, and I know that many people will end up pulling out the wires on those. So, you know, that's one negative, but that's okay. That's fine. It doesn't fall out.
Right. So if you've got a, if you have a lot of 30-pin accessories, as we all do, Apple will sell you for just $29. A 30-pin to Lightning adapter.
But you can't get those till October.
Right. And it's about, it looks like it's about yay big.
Well, there's two. There's one that's yay big, and then there's one with a cable.
Right. Then there's the one with a cable.
Which is what I need for a dock, because I can't, I'm not going to, you know, make a tower, a leaning tower in my dock.
Exactly. Yeah, because you're going to put pressure on the circuitry on the inside of the device. So in that case, you want to get the cable instead of the adapter. And so I can imagine some people are going to buy one adapter and just lug it around with them where they need to go, depending on how many accessories they have. But I think for a lot of us, we're going to end up buying four or five of these things.
I'm going to spend more on cables and adapters than I spend on the iPhone.
Like you, I have a Sonos device. I have a Sonos system, and I use my devices with that. So that's one adapter. I need something for the car, so that's going to be another one. I have something else in the bedroom, so that's yet another one. So, you know, looking at three or four for me. Initially, when this came out, Apple said, oh, video? No, doesn't do video. Well, it turns out it does, and that's what Dan Frakes discovered, is that Apple will be selling in the next few months, they haven't said exactly when that will happen, is they will offer two different dongles, and one of them will do to VGA from your device, and the other one will do HDMI. So
that's
you get
great.
Both audio and video out of it. But it seemed like it sort of caught Apple by surprise. As you said, initially they said, no, it doesn't do that.
The page was wrong.
Yeah, the page was wrong, and they just said, well, just use AirPlay. Well, that's not always the perfect solution.
Right,
so,
right.
But what else have you got? This? Oh, yeah. Well, actually, we're coming up with an adapter that will do that. So the technology is there. It's just that they haven't implemented it at this point.
And then the question for me, and you too, so you have a Sonos dock. So what we do with when we get, when I used to do what I got home, is I dock my iPhone 4 into that dock 30-pin connector, and then I could use the Sonos software and control it. I could I could see what was on there. I could play stuff from it. It had, they call that iPod out, right? The ability to see and control it as if, you know, you are actually controlling the iPod directly. Does this have it or not?
I honestly don't know. Apple hasn't said a thing about
unclear.
It. It's unclear. Yeah.
I've asked Apple, and they said that in terms of like iPod controls, playback controls, that is supported through that, through the connector and through the dock.
Oh, great.
Excuse me.
You know, my guess is it's not as complete. So, for instance, I should try it on my Mustang, actually, connect this and then see the playlist. Like, I could see the contents of it.
That's a different issue.
That may not be there.
I got a specific answer to the question about playback controls and was told that, yes, playback controls do work.
That's good.
I don't know transmitting data, though.
Okay.
That's sort
of so maybe that's the issue, is that it's kind of half iPod out. But, you know, if I could press pause and play on my Sonos software, that would be good. It'd be nice. You know, what I did was I would pick the Audible book that I was listening to, and I could control that from my iPad, my iPhone, my other iPhone.
Now, is it – the rumor is that it's also going to support USB hosting. Is that – Chris, do you know anything about
that? Oh, now that's interesting. So that's something that a lot of Android phones do, which is really cool, which is you could attach a USB thumb drive or disk drive via the cable and use it as external storage.
That's the rumor, but no one said anything one way or the other.
You
but
can do that on some Android phones.
That is
cool.
It also means that you could hook it to, like, for instance, your camera, like a 5D, and control the camera directly. That's always been this issue that everyone does this whole crazy workaround just so they can control their 5D or whatever, their Nikon or whatever, with their iPhone. And that wasn't possible with the current one. The theory is that you'll be able to do that. Do you know anything about that, Andy?
I don't know anything about that. It would be cool. I think as a consumer thing, it would be great. I don't believe that the 4S can slurp photos in from a camera. Given that there's iPhoto on this device, given that there's now LTE on this device, I have to double check to remind myself.
Well, and I think the big thing is controlling the camera, not so much pulling the files out, but being able to.
That's nice too. But in terms of consumer stuff, things that you can really put in one of those nice snappy 30-second commercials, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, for developers, it would be pretty massive. To be able to have something that suddenly opens up a lot of these cameras for control.
So, speaking of ads, I got to play this. Anyway, I'm going to play the Samsung ad in just a second. Because Samsung basically is saying the iPhone, yeah, that's mom and dad's phone, which is an interesting take. Actually, I think a very clever and interesting take on this. But the bottom line, by the way, Sonos said they're not making the dock anymore. They said, you know what? I think Sonos just said, we'd wash our hands of it. That's it. We're not going to make a dock for the new connector. So I don't really know what any of this is going to happen to our Sonos dock. Are you, Chris, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I use my Sonos for so many other things, and I belong to 3 subscription music services.
Me too.
So it's pretty rare that I even have to use anything that I own. I just go and grab it on Spotify or Rhapsody or Mob.
It's mostly the Audible books, and actually they support Audible. So I guess that Sonos's point of view is, hey, nobody's going to use the dock anymore. I just liked it because I could charge the phone and be there.
Yeah.
It started. You could say when you docked it, it would start playing immediately. I mean, it was convenient, but hey, it's just money. That's all. Samsung, this is their response. And even if you're an iPhone 5 fan, as I think I think we safely could say we are, this is pretty funny.
Hey, they're saying that this phone's going to be like a precious jewel.
Ooh, I love that.
The headphone jack is going to be on the bottom.
I heard the connector is all digital.
What?
What does that even mean?
Who knows? I'm psyched.
All I'm saying is that they should have a priority line for people who've waited 5 times.
I heard you have to have an adapter to use the dock on the new one.
Yeah, but they make the coolest adapters.
Welcome back.
Guess that Galaxy S3 didn't work out.
No, I love the GS3. It's extremely awesome. I'm just saving a spot in line for someone.
That's not cool.
Yeah, man.
This year, we're finally getting everything that we didn't get last year.
Yeah.
The big screen.
True 4G.
Yep.
What is that?
Hey, what'd you just do?
Oh, I just sent him a playlist.
By touching phones?
Yep. Simple as that.
It's the Galaxy S3.
Hey!
Hey, Mom, Dad.
Oh, thanks for holding our spot.
Oh, that was
zing.
How's it going? Saved you a spot.
I moved on.
But you're not going to miss all this?
I got the Samsung GS3 now.
Is that a Samsung?
That's a new Samsung. It is. It's pretty cool.
But I kind of like it.
This one's 4G.
Yeah, we've had that for a while.
This one's got a big screen.
This one has a bigger one. And we can share videos instantly. You can watch a video while you're sending an email.
Well, we're going to get that for sure. Maybe not this time, but the next time, right?
The next big thing is already here. The Samsung Galaxy S3.
The iPhone, it's mom and dad's phone.
It's a good app.
Yeah, that was a burn.
Burn! I'm a dad. It's okay.
Well, see that just shows that Samsung has not learned anything from the $1 billion lawsuit. Now they're copying Apple's idea of telling effective commercials and making them funny.
Bastard. Damn them. How could they stole that too?
Well, I will tell you, I have a dad story.
Okay.
My daughter, it's about time that she needs to get a cell phone of some kind. And so I said, well, great, I can pass along my iPhone 4. And she was very nice about saying, no, Dad, that's what? You want an iPhone 5? There's no way I'm getting you. She goes, no, I want one of the kind of phones that my friends have. So, well, what do they have? And they turns out they have these really terrible Android phones that their parents have given them because basically they're free.
They're cheap, yeah.
So they're cheap. So it isn't about having a really cool piece of technology. It's about what your friends have. And when you're about 11 or 12, you buy the really cheap Android and say, here.
Also,
that's where Android's making some of its money from.
That's a big story because for a long time, this was I think a lot of the reasons the iPhone sells and still sells is because it's hip, it's cool, it's the phone to have, right? But if it's not anymore, that's not good.
I had a conversation. Well,
I would think that when you're in college or maybe in high school, the cool phone is
it?
The iPhone.
I wonder.
I've seen an awful lot of them around. But I do know that in sort of that tween set where they do junior high, where they need to have a phone, parents aren't giving them these things.
And they're made of glass, for Christ's sake. You're not going to
give
a 13-year-old something made out of glass and say, hey, In fact, oh, and I don't want to tell a story. It's sad. Go ahead, Annie. You were saying.
Hold on. I was just going to say I had a conversation very similar to yours, where a teenager that was I was talking to over the summer, a relative asked me about phones because it was time for him to get like another phone like at the end of the summer. And I'm talking about, well, the iPhone 4S is pretty good, but the Apple's probably going to have a really cool iPhone 5 in September. And he said, I don't want an iPhone. That's the phone that my dad has.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, dear, I really am that old. But I'm not old, not so old. I don't remember what it's like to, even if your dad drives the coolest car in the world, it is by definition unhip by virtue of the fact that your dad drives it.
Yes, that's right. Even if it's a Maserati. Here is some people are making hay on the fact that there's no more docking. This is an ad from Jawbone. This is a dock with a clock. And it blows up into little tiny pieces. I have to describe this for the audio audience. Circuits flying through the airs. There's what looks like kind of like the Bose dock, and it blows up into little tiny pieces because Jawbone is selling their Jambox, which is Bluetooth. And I think the point they're making is, who needs a dock? Because aren't you just going to use Bluetooth from now on? But Bluetooth doesn't give you iPod control, right? You can play and pause next.
Yeah, but that's okay because you've got your iPod in your hand.
In your hand, so the control is there.
You have an even better remote control than you would if you actually had a wired thing.
Okay.
Jambox is pretty awesome, by the way.
It is. That's that ad for the giant.
That one's awesome, too.
Jumbo Jambox.
Although I have to say that one of the last things that blew up was a Logitech device, which is available in a docked or a Bluetooth model.
Yeah, Logitech's now got that UE line, the Ultimate Ears line. In fact, I got the little, it wasn't that little. The one that looks like a boombox.
I have it. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. The sound is good. The bass was not as good as I was hoping for. But, you know, these little speaker systems, you're not going to get.
Bass is big. The top end isn't quite as good as I would have liked it. But I can either set up every single room in the house with wireless speakers, or I can have this rechargeable boombox.
But that
can simply carry in. So.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, because I'm going to put Sonos in every room. That's like $2,000 worth of Sonos gadgets.
I started going down the path of Sonos, and then I added up what I needed, and I was pricey. Like, oh, I have to think about that a little longer.
Yeah, it's pricey. What about
you have to grow it over time.
That's right.
Units, and yes. Then the next year you get another one.
That's
before you know it, you've got a house full of stuff.
Well, and that's where divorce
that you
really
spent a house
you,
for,
because we had to split the Sonos, and that was terrible.
You got half?
I got half as many Sonoses. I got the dock, though. I got custom dock. That's not so good. So Apple is getting in a little bit of trouble for stealing the clock. First of all, I have no idea why Apple finally puts a clock on the iPad. In iOS 6, there's a clock app on the iPad. We went years without a clock app. In fact, as a result, things like the beautiful Emerald Observatory, which Andy has recommended, is a gorgeous clock app that you download on your, and I think it's free, maybe not, but it's worth paying a few bucks for. So now Apple has a new clock app. You won't see this on the iPhone. It's the iPad clock app. Has clocks that look surprisingly, in fact, exactly like the trademarked Swiss railway clock design.
Yeah, it was exactly.
I think any jury in the land would convict them on that one. The Swiss Federal Railway Service told Agence France-Presse that it would meet in the coming days or weeks with Apple representatives to reach an agreement. There's another one. Who's is that your watch, Andy?
That is my licensed Swiss railway watch, which I now refer to as the special ultra limited edition iPad clock.
So the thing that's distinct about it is the second hand with a big red dot on it.
Yeah, but this is like my first like grown up watch after buying nothing but like digital watches and like Star Wars licensed watches. And this is just such a gorgeous, gorgeous design that after spending like 3 months waffling about it, as soon as I saw this, it was like, oh, that's very pretty. I want that one. But yeah, I mean, this is why I had a little bit of I couldn't put full-throated support behind Apple's victory against Samsung, not because Samsung didn't steal the iPhone, which they absolutely totally did. I mean, such a dense paper trail. But it was a lot of the stuff being discussed around it was that innovate. Don't copy, don't steal. It's like no, this is it's copy.
Part of it, and it's not even really theft.
Part of design is saying, "Ooh, that's a nice design that really works." It's not protected by patent. I think I will actually use it for my own project because it really works very well. So
the good news is that the Swiss are very polite, and they don't believe in So they say the SBB, the Swiss Federal Railway Service, said they, quote, did not intend to upset Apple by asking for money. And that they were proud that their clock had been chosen for iOS 6.
Oh, yes, blown opportunity. Free iPads for a lot of mayors, dude.
I bet they ask for a little bit of money.
Every conductor gets an iPod Nano, something.
There's something in there.
$10 gift card, something.
They do make money licensing that design.
And maybe it is valuable because if word spreads it, oh, by the way, if you like the design on your iPad, you can actually have it as a watch or as a wall clock or as something else.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just valuable. I'd be shocked if they didn't go for something that simply said, give us a line of gray text somewhere at some point of that app that says, by the way, this is licensed and approved. You sell it for $1 per year if you have to. But
I think they have to do that.
They can't go away with simply saying, you want to steal our idea for a clock? Sure.
Right.
Go ahead. Well, I think what they've done is they've just changed the combination on the vault of Apple's bullion in Swiss banks and say, well, gosh, I think we've lost that combination. Well, I wonder what might. A little cut here. That's it. Yeah, it's 7.
We're going to take a break, come back. We have lots more to talk about. We talked about the ugly. Let's talk about the good of the iPhone 5.
It's thin.
It's
tall.
It's thin. I'm telling you, it's a work of art. And I think if you get the black one, you're going to want to put a black and white image on your lock screen so that it can play. By the way, Apple should really require that. no color images on the front of the lock screen.
Of course not.
It needs to be a black and white, very geometric image because it enhances the overall monolithic aspect. Da 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 dum. Did 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 did. This show brought to you by our friends at Ford Motor Company, who have a brand new webpage they want you all to know about, social.ford.com. Ford's doing social, and I think they're doing it right. They're doing some really interesting things. First of all, there's a lot of content here. This isn't just kind of an empty site. They have a ton of articles, and I know that because I wrote one about my conversation with a Ford technologist, Jim Buczkowski, about the future of Ford Sync, the API, autonomous vehicles, and more. You'll find all of this in the technology section. They also, though, invite you to submit your stories about your Ford experience. I love this. People who own Fords, there's something about, we're a special breed. We're proud of our cars. And here's a great idea, a place where you can submit your ideas, kind of a suggestion box for Ford owners. Things that you'd like to see, and you can vote on the ideas as well, which is nice. You can rank them by popularity. Of course, pictures and videos of people with their Fords, and Ford posts stuff there as well, which is fantastic. And if you visit, you might want to grab a badge as well. Read the articles, make suggestions, grab your tech geek badge. You're not just ahead of the curve, you're the one leading it. They have a whole bunch of great badges where you can show your Ford pride. I'm going to get the Mustang badge. I like that. But there's quite a few in a variety of categories. So give it a visit, will you? Social.ford.com. And by the way, the new, I've been waiting for them, the 2013 Fusions have been announced, including their plug-in hybrid, the Energy, and just some really neat stuff. Find out more. Go further in a Ford. Visit your Ford dealer today. And social.ford.com. All right. There's plenty of good stuff in here. Plenty of good stuff. You'll get a whole extra row of icons. That's nice.
Awesome.
Also, let's talk about how good the color of the screen is.
It is a beautiful screen.
And even comparing with the 4S, you play a movie like The Godfather with extreme cinematography. It's the first one where the blacks in the shot are supposed to be absolutely black, and you get a full range of color all the way to the highlights. it is just such a gorgeous thing. I saw a couple of people complaining about how, it's technically not a true 720p HD display. I mean, on Android, we've had HD display for quite some time now. Yeah, well, you can keep your technically correct HD displays. It works. On this sub-HD screen looks two times better than any other Android phone I've ever seen.
Well, they're claiming a broader color gamut, almost full sRGB. What does that mean?
Basically, the full box of crayons instead of a smaller box of crayons. Really, all I can really say is that the contrast is snappier without being artificial, and the blacks are just a Spinal Tap black. How much more black could this be? The answer is none. None more black than this. My usual two tests for video are The Godfather and Up. Because those are two pretty extreme examples, The Godfather for the blacks, but also Up for what if you have a scene which is nothing but a million brightly colored balloons. Do the balloons have shading and highlights on them, or are they just like dots of magic marker because your display can't display enough colors to really render that correctly? And the iPhone 5 is just magnificent.
Godfather is a good choice because, especially at the beginning, Godfather 1 is very dark, intentionally so.
The cinematographer's nickname is the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah. Literally. And he dragged the film stock through chemicals to give it a kind of an interesting color cast. Yeah. And so if you get the Blu-ray and you watch it on a great screen, you can really see that. If you get an older DVD, it looks horrible because they did a lot of bad transfers. So that's an example where you might even not be getting the best images unless you go out and get the new Coppola-approved DVD of that. So I think I agree with you. That's a great test. Now, what about, I'm looking at the Netflix app because they haven't updated it. It's not filling the screen, which is kind of a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to fix that.
All of Apple's apps now. And, if you get, by the way, a little tip, get the black iPhone because you can't tell it's not filling the screen because the black merges nicely with the bezel. But there are apps, quite a few, that don't fill the screen. And then there are apps that do, like all the Apple apps. And you don't get that top and bottom bar on that thing. I guess that's just going to be a matter of time.
Yeah.
What else do we like about it?
Speed is amazing. Every benchmark I've tried has been twice the speed of the 4S. And I've talked not just like Geekbench benchmarks. I'm talking about things that actually take a lot of time to process. Another test that I usually do is the Auto Stitch app. I did a 16 photo panorama stitch, which was done in half the time.
Oh, not it's only amazing, that, though. If you use the built-in panorama, it's instant.
I have to say, iPhone 5, but iOS 6. I've been testing that. The built-in panorama is just stunning.
Yeah.
It's a good feature, but I use it as a test of math.
Yeah, I understand how fast it is. But also, it's a much faster processor.
It's much, much faster, but also the extra RAM really helps. I did a test where I was, the upper limit, the hard upper limit that AutoStitch has is 40 images. You can't try to do AutoStitch more than 40.
Yeah, for good reason.
So I restarted both phones, tried to do a 40 image stitch with the 4S, and it crashed. But it made had no problems on the iPhone 5. So there's definitely some help you're getting for that extra amount of system RAM.
Gigabyte of RAM now instead of 512, right?
Yeah.
I think in most cases, the speed improvement you won't notice. You have to go to things like stitching to really see a big difference. Yeah.
Well, what's so strong about it, if you actually just do the Geekbench scores,
it's huge.
The iPhone 5 is a huge leap over the 4S. It's actually about the same as the Galaxy S3. But the difference is that in iOS, you get applications that can actually use all that CPU power, apps like iPhoto that are now a little bit snappier, much more responsive than they were in the 4S.
Right.
On the Samsung, really, you're using that extra CPU power for gaming and for running Geekbench scores.
Right.
So you rarely get to see it the way that you can see it on iOS. So that is a huge advantage.
There is no doubt, and PC Magazine said this, that the new iPhone 5 is the fastest, by a good margin, smartphone out there. I mean, this system on a chip that Apple built is really... Oh, I ran into a tree. It's faster for running into trees, even.
It's just too fast. That's the problem.
It's too fast. I can't keep up. And the new earbuds. In fact, what do you, Chris Breen, have you played with the new earbuds? What do you think? You're the
musician. I have not played with the new earbuds. Okay. I have people I trust who've played with the new earbuds. They say they fit much better than the old ones, which is half the battle. People who really, really like headphones have found that the bass response isn't all that great and the low mids isn't all that great. So
they're $30 headphones, though, right?
They're $30 headphones, and they're free if you get them with the right devices. So they're certainly a step up in that they'll actually stay in your ears, and they're okay. But clearly, if you want really great sound, you're going to spend more money for a good set of headphones.
I was impressed. I thought these were better than they needed to be. Let's put it that way, given that these are the gimme headphones that you get. And they do have new ads, by the way, with Jeff Daniels narrating. here are the new, let's see.
This. Your thumb. It goes from here to here. This bigger screen goes from here to here.
Showing why the screen's not wider.
Now, that's either A, an amazing coincidence, or B, a dazzling display of common sense.
This is how they respond to the much larger phones from pretty Samsung sure and LG. Sense thing.
And he looks like he's holding it very comfortably.
So that's the thumbs ad. Here's it. What?
I got to say, I kind of call BS on that.
Yeah.
I've been using it for a couple of days. It's a lot easier to use than something as big as this. Absolutely no question about that. But it's just not true. Rests on the regular iPhone 4. I can easily cover the entire screen with one hand, with one thumb. On the iPhone 5, just like with these larger phones, I have to sort of scoot it around in my hand to get at the top. The topmost corner I can't even reach with my thumb. So if you're asking
to do
for
some flexibility training, maybe some stretching exercises.
I need to do hand Pilates. I need to get that special, like, beautiful wooden table that lets me just do the downward dog with.
Exactly. But, in fact, maybe that's our next show. Hand Pilates.
Hand Pilates.
Yeah.
Can I be hand dancing as well? We get
that. This is called cheese.
So I mean, if I bet that if I hard mounted my iPhone 5 to a light stand.
You would be able to do this.
I just had my hand around it. Didn't have to actually support it while I'm doing it. I bet I could actually reach the screen.
Ah, you think that's how they did that?
I don't think that this was just a free-floating hand that had to hold it. I think that it was actually locked down somewhere. I'm guessing. I'm being wildly.
We know that's how they did the iPad ads. So anyway, here's cheese.
Every picture tells a story.
This is about the pano.
Of course. Some stories are bigger than others.
I have to say the Pano app works quite well. Better, I would say, than the Android version. Fast, it's pretty easy to use, does a good job of stitching.
Does an incredible job of stitching,
yeah.
Like when I saw it, I was like, there's no way that's going to work.
Right. In real time.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think it's a wonderful implementation of the version of panorama stitching that we saw on Sony a couple years ago. I'm sorry, I'm just being a
Andy, you're all right. Let's try this one. Let's take a look at the physics.
I tested that one with not only auto stitch, but also an actual like 180 degree lens. And yeah, no, the panorama that you get from iOS 6 on the iPhone 5 is just killer.
And maybe I'll ask you about this, Alex. One thing that I noticed in that ad, they weren't turning the phone as you would normally do with a pano. They were actually sliding it along,
which you shouldn't do.
But then
I'm sure it looks better. It looks better on the.
I think
that they had the kid. It looked like they had the kids actually arranged in a kind of a semicircle. It didn't look like it was like a plain line. So for that use, it looked like it would be the right way to do it.
Were the kids on a light stand? Let me just try this here. So whoops. Move phone, continue. See, it does work if I just... Oh, no, it's very confused.
Yeah, it doesn't...
It doesn't like it.
Doesn't like that at all.
But come on, this is what they did in the advertisement.
It works great even on the iPhone 4S.
All right. It comes with iOS 6, we should mention that. Yeah, it's not... It's for the all iOS 6.
And for those watching, I mean, the big thing is that if you're using this phone, what you want to do is you want...
Rotate around the axis.
Right? Yeah, you really want to be as close to the
pivot.
To the pivot point here. So
remember that the camera is in the corner, so pivot right on the corner.
So if you turn it, the closer you do that, it means it's a lot less important when you're outside and there's nothing near you. When you're near something like a table or this microphone or something like that, that's where you're going to see the parallax and things are going to get chopped up. Although, what I will say is that so far all my tests have shown almost no shadowing, almost no ghosts, almost no... I mean, there's all... Like, whatever they're doing, there's some serious magic going on inside.
I've been able to get some surprisingly good panos in real time, which is one of the amazing things.
You can be technical. I'm talking about the technical issues, but the reality is, I mean, you just do it, and it seems to work.
My son took a pano while we were driving, and I said, well, that's not going to work. And it actually ended up working quite well. I mean, the stuff that was moving out the window didn't look so good, but he got a good pano of the inside of the car. It was just it was the highway moving that was there's a little I don't know what the flying highway. All right, this is ad three. This is physics. I like playing ads.
There are laws to physics, right?
You think people will recognize Jeff Daniels' voice?
How can something get bigger?
He was in Dumb and Dumber
and smaller
and Newsroom.
Oh, there's more of it.
I like his voice. It's
and
his choice.
Less of it?
More of it and less of it.
Well, I guess the laws of physics are more like general guidelines.
The good ads.
Yeah, they're good. That's solid.
That genius ad. One more. This is the one for that I meant to play originally. This is the one for the earbuds. Which, by the way, I think are pretty good. I think the sound is better than the old ones. They certainly fit better than the old ones.
Yeah. Ears are weird.
Like I said.
I don't know what shape that is, but it's not round. So why would headphones be round?
Like our old headphones that we sold for 9 years.
They should be shaped like this.
Yeah.
Ear-shaped.
Yeah, ear-shaped headphones.
You know, so they fit in your ears.
And then plug into the bottom of the phone for reasons no one understands. So there's the ad. The new ads for the iPhone 5. Thumbs, physics, cheese, and ears. Anybody have any scratching on the anodized aluminum? You know, I ran a X-Acto knife across this, and it was fine. So I think this is anodized. It's not painted. Now, who was it? Was it iFixit that really they were able to gouge it? But speaking of physics...
But Apple, they were using a chisel.
Yeah, Apple has not repealed the laws of physics. This is still metal that you could gouge.
People forget that the iPhone 4 was made out of, like, aircraft glass and steel. These are difficult materials to scratch at all. It's probably the toughest materials you can put in a consumer device. And they replace it with a very conventional material. And if you expect it to have the superhuman paint on it that is going to completely resist scratching, that's just... That's unrealistic, sweetie. I mean,
it's not going to happen. Just not going to happen. Somebody in the chat room just said the reason they put the headphone jack on the bottom next to the lightning port is so that you could dock it onto something.
Oh, no, I don't.
Whole new set of docks.
I think the reason why they did it is because when you're holding it, you're basically the headphone goes basically up towards where your earphones actually are. Also, does it look pretty to have? When you have it both with the docking cable and with the earphones, it looks like a bead with this two wires coming in and out. Maybe it looks better with both of them coming back down. Actually, given that I often, like when I take my constitutionals, I'll have this in my hand. It is actually better, I think, to have the headphone jack on the bottom.
As long as you're holding your hand, but don't put it in your pocket. Then it's all screwed up. True. You have to put it upside down in your pocket. Now, again, I don't know why that bugs me because I'm not looking at it. But it just bugs me. I have to put this in upside down. Yeah. It's upside down. The little people inside my phone are all standing on their heads.
All right. How about this? You're using it outside, and it's raining. Do you want a big hole on the top of it, or do you want it on the bottom where you can't get into it?
No, because the hole will be on the top because it's upside down in your pocket. Because you had to do that to put the headphone in.
Wozniak says he doesn't like the maps, but they'll get better. Steve is so great. I love Steve. Every time I see a quote from Steve, I hear his voice because he talks in his voice. He now says he wants to move to Australia because he likes the national broadband network in Australia so much. And he says,
really?
Yes, he wants to move to Australia.
I have a feeling that Steve can get whatever speed internet he wants wherever he happens to be at any given moment. I'm not sure if it needs if he has to move.
He moved. He had a very nice house in, I think it was in Saratoga or Los Gatos, that he built a cave in for his son and all sorts of stuff. And he left. He moved because he couldn't get good cell reception. He sold the house. So I beg to differ. I don't
it's
know.
Not that he's a geek or anything.
You would think he could have called AT&T and said, could you put a cell site outside my house?
That's how nice he is. He doesn't like to make trouble.
You know what? That's exactly right. You're joking, but it's exactly, I'm sure Steve said, well, I'm not going to call them. I'm just going to move.
And by the way, those
to Australia.
To Australia.
Alternatively,
the greatest people on earth.
I agree. They're the friendliest, the nicest.
Alternatively, what do you think is going to be easier, packing up everything you own and moving to a new house or dealing with AT&T customer service?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
If I had the money, I'd probably move.
Yeah, you're right. And this is, I'm so happy to hear. I don't know if this bodes anything, but remember that Google bought Sparrow, which made me sad, made my lower lip tremble because I like it. It's an email client for the iOS for the desktop. I use it on the desktop. And so good news, they have decided that they're going to update Sparrow to support the bigger screen on the iPhone 5. I may be the last time, I don't know. But one more update still to come from Sparrow. How hard, it can't be, for most apps, like a text-based app like that, it's probably fairly easy to do. If it's, you know, Field Runners 2, it's going to be a lot harder to make it widescreen because you have to redo all the art. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So don't expect Field Runners 2 widescreen.
It's pretty great just the way it is.
I know. I don't I haven't played
it. I love that app.
It's such a good you know, it's on the iPad now.
Yeah, but the problem is I have trouble syncing it. I've already gotten all
I know.
I've won everything. I've won all of them, so now I'm trying to go through.
How many stars won all of them? Two stars?
Two stars on a couple of them, one on most of them. I've just gotten through them. Now I'm going up. Now I got to get three stars on all of them.
Three's hard. I try to do tough. So you have casual, tough, and heroic. And I try to do tough.
And they remind you over and over again, like a taunt, that all of them can be won in heroic mode.
It's hard to believe.
I have a hard time winning them in
casual.
In casual.
I know.
Jeez.
This should be our
But you know what happens is you play it. Here's the thing is that you play it one over and over and over again. And what happens for me is that I wake up in the morning and I know exactly how to,
it comes to
do this.
You.
Yeah, I know exactly what I need to do. And then you just pound it.
Oh, I should have done something.
Oh, yeah, if I just had.
You know, they're supposed to sync up through Game Center to your, but they
doesn't
don't.
Work.
Yeah. So this is a hard one. It looks like it would be easy because you've got these, they have to come down the trough.
Yeah.
So you could corner them in the trough, right? But it's not
easy. The problem is you have to deal with all of them at the same time. You really need flamethrowers in there because that way they...
Flamethrowers. Yeah, that's how we won World War WW2. Yeah.
As soon as you can afford them, you need the flamethrowers in there because then that pinches them and they're an area attack. Not individual. The problem with those is they're individual.
We need to do a Field Runners show.
I'm all
this
over
week
that.
In Field Runners.
We could probably do that for a year.
This is such a good game. I'll put it in fast forward so that we can see some action here. I need some oil to slow them down. They're getting faster. Look at that. Oh! What do I need?
Well, I put a missile launcher in that center one at least to start with.
It's getting dug. See, they escaped. No, it's just a few. I get 20.
Oh, no.
You don't want any to get through?
You shouldn't lose any until level 40. If you can lose any before level 40, you're
dead.
To
I'm already dead, right? It's over. I blew it.
Yeah.
Do you like to upgrade? They encourage you to upgrade.
I upgrade them at the very beginning. No, I wouldn't do that many because now you're just wasting money. You're just throwing money away.
You got to get
to the big guns fast so that you can, because the key is you want to overpower
them. It's a surprisingly
them.
Challenging game. See, now I get some oil. That's good. Yeah. I wanted the oil so I can slow them down, those sons of guns.
Can't spend all that money on those extra guns and that oil. You would have had a flamethrower, and then everything would have been fine.
Flamethrower, huh?
Yeah.
That's the secret.
You know, they just come running up. They don't know what's happening. It's like, and then they're a little toast. You know, and then another set runs out and goes, and then there's only a couple of it goes.
They pop when they cook.
They don't pop, but they should. That would be really cool. They should. What should happen is they should all sit there and they should just be charred and fall over.
We're gonna take a break. You can play some Field Runners while we take a break. on your old iPhone 4S.
Still works well for field runners.
Your field runner server now.
Hey, Andy, have you played with the Whisper Sync now in Audible? Because I'm loving that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a nice feature?
It's the only disadvantage of it is that now it makes me actually buy both copies of it now.
Yeah.
It's always been like this line of demarcation between the books that I listen to and then a totally separate books that I read. Now it's like, if I'm at a really interesting part of a book that I'm reading, I have to say, I've got like a 2-hour drive. Oh, okay, I'll buy the Audible book.
But you know, if it's Whisper Sync enabled, they give you a deal on the Audible book. So you kind of get a price cut. Right?
Yes, but you know, I'm a print journalist in a collapsing market. So
even that's not enough. So WhisperSync has been around. Amazon bought Audible a couple of years ago. WhisperSync's been around for a while on your Kindle books, where you would buy a book, read it on a different devices, because that's the nice thing about the Kindle software. You could have it on your Kindle, on an iPad, and an iPhone, and it would just jump you to wherever you left off, no matter what device you're reading it on. And we always said, gosh, if Audible would only do that. Well, now they do. If you use the Audible app, it will keep track of where you are. If you're listening on your iPhone and you get home and you start listening on your iPad, no problem. And it works with what Andy's talking about, with the Kindle version as well. So if you're reading at home on your Kindle on the text, and you get in the car and you want to listen to Audible, jumps right to that part. And it's really cool. And this is of limited use, but I think somebody, if you had dyslexic kids, or there's a lot of people, this would be very helpful to teach kids to read even. If you have a Kindle device, I think this works with a Kindle Fire only maybe. When you're reading a book in text, you can also play the audio and it will highlight the words as they read them, which is really cool. That's on the Kindle Fire. Yeah. Anyway, Audible, I should tell you what Audible is. Audible is the best darn bookstore ever. Audiobooks, over 100,000 read by really good, not, you know, bad readers, but people, actors for the most part, Broadway actors in many cases, who can bring a book to life. And if you have I was just talking to somebody who kind of, you know, loved to read, but who has time anymore? And, you know, you get in bed and you start to read, you get about a paragraph and you, this is the solution. I told her, oh, you got to get audiobooks. Now you can listen at the gym. You can listen in your commute, listen at when you're walking the dog. I listen all the time and I get a couple of hours of reading a day without breaking a sweat. Well, actually I'm breaking a sweat because I'm at the gym. Audible.com. Now I'm going to tell you how you can get your first book free. Well, there's a new section, 10 books you won't want to put down. Ready Player One. Yay. That's the Will Wheaton read. The Help. That was excellent. Loved that. Rob Lowe's autobiography. Oh, man. Life of Pi. That one of the best Life of Pi versions there. Listening to it really brings it to life. So these are good. This is some recommendations. Audible is like a real bookstore in the sense that they do a lot of things like bookstores do, like, you know, here's our favorites. Here's, hey, are you really interested in this kind of book? Here's another one. Discover a brilliant new dystopian fantasy. I'm a big fan of those. You know what the number one book is right now? And this is actually, I got to put this on my list. And No Easy Day, the firsthand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden by one of the SEAL Team 6 guys. I've been meaning to, I'm going to add that to my cart. See, I have an Audible subscription, so I get credits every month to spend. And we'd like to invite you to try it. Your first month's free. If you go to audible.com/MacBreak, you'll be signing up for the Gold account. That's a credit a month. Most books are a single credit. You pick any book, listen to it, enjoy it, cancel it anytime, pay nothing if you choose, and the book is still yours to keep forever. Andy, I know you have an Audible recommendation you were asking.
Yeah, I got one that I've been saving up for like 2.5 months. A fantastic new book just got released today and also released in Audible. It's called The Dangerous Animals Club by Stephen Tobolowsky. Stephen Tobolowsky is one of those character actors. He's one of those, one of the upper echelon guys because he's identified as, oh, that guy. The annoying insurance salesman in Groundhog Day. Like,
oh, middle nose head, I love him. I love him.
That's him.
I know who he is.
He was in Glee. He was in Sneakers. He was in, like, he's been in like a million movies and TV shows. And he is an absolute master storyteller. He spins these essays based on events in his life. It's autobiographical, but it's not like one of these. And then I saw Diane Cannon face down in an aquarium full of cocaine. I asked Debbie Reynolds who invited her. No, it's
that guy. It really is, that guy.
It's about, It's about he's had an interesting life of, in the theater, in movies and television. Oh, it's not celebrity stories. It's about people. It's
he's so good in Californication. He's the movie director husband.
But the point I want to make is that it's not like I've recommended a bunch of Hollywood like books before, and it's about like Dick Van Dyke. You want to know what it was? What was he really totally drunk during during Mary Poppins? Right. This isn't that kind of book. He has that rare ability not only to tell a fantastic story, but also to look back on events from 10, 20, 30 years previously in his life, even a year previously in his life, with perspective and a certain amount of insight. And every when he tells a story about falling off a horse and breaking his neck, it's not. It really is a universal story about here is what change in life is about. Here is what surprise is.
Right.
And it's. I've had a pre. I got a proof copy of it a couple months ago, and man, I went right through it, then went right through it again. He has a fantastic. I first heard about his storytelling abilities. He has another podcast called Stephen Tobolowsky Files, which I heartily recommend you seek out and subscribe to.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's not these aren't like off the cuff like I've got an hour to fill I'll start talking. They're well read, well written, just it really is those driveway moments where I've been listening to an episode of the podcast and I'm in the driveway and just running down battery because I gotta sit for the next 25 minutes to hear the story about Stevie Ray Vaughan, and not only just the story about him being in a band with Stevie Ray Vaughan, but also what he's learned and what lessons he's culled from that experience. Just absolutely.
Wait a minute.
Genius.
He was in a band with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
He's led a very interesting life. I was rereading it on the beach and about a month ago, and I got to, and you realize that you know Stephen Tobolowsky by the characters he plays, sort of like a lot of these like sort of nerdy, nebbishly guys,
right?
And so when you get to this page about him throwing this incredible Hollywood party where most of these stories have been again very sweet, very very gentle stories about how then the porn stars started arriving and started taking off their clothes, and suddenly everybody put down their beers and moved into the bedroom.
Like, whoa!
Oh, hey, Steven.
Let me play a little bit of this book so that people can hear what it sounds like, because he narrates it.
Yes,
and you'll recognize his voice. Somebody said he's the voice of the Discover Card commercials. what did I do with it here?
He's so good. I've not only bought, not only am I buying his book legitimately, not only do I listen to his podcast, but he was in Boston giving a reading in Harvard Square, and I had to go out and see him read live. Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Dangerous Animals Club. Here's Stephen Tobolowsky reading a little bit of that.
Don't ask me, how are the kids? I never have any idea. I know they eat and get dressed and go to school, but as to what is going on in their lives and in their heads, forget it. It is the secret world. The world that every child has that no parent gets to see.
That's good. I can't wait to... This is great. I just added it to my my queue of books to listen to. Stephen Tobolowsky. So here's the deal. You can get this for free, folks. Go to audible.com/MacBreak. It doesn't have to be this book. Any single credit book, which is almost all of them, on the Audible list of 100,000 titles, is yours free when you go to audible.com/MacBreak. Was he the teacher in Freaky Friday? Probably. That's exactly the kind of role.
If you actually don't make sure that your laptop is plugged into battery before you access his IMDb page, because there's going to be a lot of scrolling involved to get to the end.
I can't wait. I love that kind of Hollywood memoir, but an interesting, smart guy.
It's more life stories and life lessons, but sort of like hidden as interesting stories about a very, 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 very creative life.
Yep. All right, time for our, I don't know, should we do an iOS 6 tip of the week? Would you like to do it? You don't have iOS 6 yet, do you?
I have iOS 6.
He's playing Field Runners.
I was going to show you.
See, yeah, see, here's our tip. Here's our Field Runners tip of the week.
So there you go.
He is set up on that same thing.
See, the little flamethrower with properly, with oil, with
and a missile.
Properly spaced missiles.
Yeah, not a chance.
The mistake I made was I put the flamethrowers both on the same side, which is I've lost a couple helicopters that way.
Oh, yeah, because you want to get both.
But you see, you pinch them all. And then I got a little lightning there
at the
end.
Lightning rod, so they don't have a show. That tank's getting through it. Oh, my gosh.
I need to have something slowing it down in the back there. I gave up 10 points there.
40.
Yeah.
Look at that. But you're already around 48 on this one.
Look, so you get them into that. You get them into that. You slow them down,
wish,
and then you just.
I wish when you sprayed them with oil, it would catch on fire from the flamethrower.
That would be awesome.
Really get some.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's an in-app purchase.
I would buy that in-app purchase. So there's our iOS tip.
There's my iOS tip. This is proper use of
flamethrowers.
Pinch points. Yes.
Pinch points and flamethrowers.
Yes.
Well, you taught me everything I know about field runners. I learned from Alex Lindsay. He's the king.
Not that I'm obsessive or anything. If you ever see me in a line in the airport, I'm always down there playing field runners. That's the only way to put up with it.
Chris Breen, do you have a tip you want to give us? You're the Mac Daddy, author of the Mac 911 column on macworld.com. I mean, no one knows more about this than you do.
I will give you a tip. So you're using Mountain Lion.
Yeah, I am. And you freeze. No.
That's not right.
No. That's just me.
That's not right.
You freeze with a funny look on your face. Oh.
Field Runners 2, by the way.
Field Runners 2. Never Field Runners 1.
Field Runners 1 was incredible until Field Runners 2 came out. I can't wait to see Plants and Zombies 2.
Is there a Plants and Zombies 2?
There's got to be. I mean, they made so much money on the first one. How can you not?
Listen to this from Web3863. In all caps. No, I'm sorry. Not all caps. Just capitalize the first letter of every word. This has been the most complaining I have ever heard on any episode of MacBreak Weekly. Wow. Complaining about the headphone on the bottom. Really? Leo even downplayed the insane screen quality. It's like I'm watching an Android Central episode. Wow. Thank you very much. Just thought I'd pass that along.
Share the love.
Panels do work in vertical. In fact, I'll give you an iOS tip that it is not immediately obvious, although it's actually a very handy thing to know. If you're in the camera app and you're in the pano mode, so you go to options and pano, you could tap the arrow to switch the direction.
Okay. That, a lot of people have been complaining about that.
Yes, I thought there's got to be some way to do this, and I just touched it. I said, oh yes, there is. Now, how do you shoot up and down, a vertical pano? That's another question I don't understand. You turn it. You just do it like that. And it is probably a good idea to shoot the pano for the maximum megapixels.
Yes.
On the side, not horizontal. Horizontally, not. No, vertically, not horizontally. But yeah, there's a tip. That's a good tip.
It's a great tip.
Tap the arrow.
There's a lot of people talking about not being able to go both ways. That's a great tip.
All right. Mr. Andy Nakon, you want to do a lion or a mountain lion tip while we get Chris Breen back?
I got a quick one. It's frustrating as heck when you try to use Shuffle Play in iTunes and you're listening for like 45 minutes and you realize, okay, look, I like that David Byrne song, but you already played that David Byrne song twice. Are you lying to me about randomizing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually wanting to make this tip about how to truly randomize an iTunes Shuffle Play, because I was hoping that Chris would say, actually, that's a good idea, Andy, but here's the way to really do it.
Andy. Good idea.
I got a tip for you if you're in... Go ahead.
I was going to say that there's a... the only way that I can get true random shuffle play is to, instead of doing shuffle play on a playlist by actually clicking the feature, I create a smart playlist that simply says, fill this playlist with X hours worth of music. Do not include anything that has been played within the last 10 minutes or the last day or two.
Oh, smart.
And then I shuffle play on that playlist. Because
but will that fix the artist issue?
Well, it's not an artist issue. It's just that the random shuffle play, when you just simply say, here is an entire playlist or here's an entire music library, just keep playing music at random. The same songs often keep coming up again. I've been told that it is because Shuffle tries to be a helpful shuffle. It tries to bubble to the top songs that it thinks that you're going to want to listen to.
No.
When actually, no, I want completely random.
I want random, yeah.
So the only way around it that I've found so far is to shuffle play from a playlist you've created for that purpose that is set to automatically kick out every song that you've listened to in the past few days.
Right.
Because that way, as soon as it gets played, it fails to pass the test. It immediately gets kicked out and replaced by something new. And that's how you manage to get through your entire library. Or not repeat the same two David Byrne songs over and over again. I love David Byrne, but after two or three times in a half hour, no, I don't like David
too
Byrne
much,
again.
Too much David Byrne can be bad.
Really? Is that possible?
Now, Chris Breen, we've got him back.
Hello. I'm back.
That was the funniest thing ever.
Did you hear any of it?
No, you froze, right? You said, I got a great lion tip.
Chris, almost as if you were caught off guard and you needed to stall and look up something in one of your own books. So you accidentally, right. So you basically cut the connection. So you go.
No, that's not what happened.
No, that's something I would do. That would never happen. It was awesome. It was totally awesome. So here's what the tip is. The tip is in Mountain Lion, in mail, if you'd like to go back and remember a mail message that you've had at one time or another, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll flag a message, and that's not very effective because you lose it after a couple of days. What you do instead is you open up the Reminders application, take an email message, just grab the subject heading for mail and drag it into Reminders, at which point it turns into a reminder. So do that. It shows up in your Reminders, and then you can schedule a time for it to remind you about this email message that's sitting over in mail.
Brilliant.
Solid tip.
That's great.
Brilliant. I love that. So I'm going to have to do this. So it's one of the nice reasons now we have Reminders on our desktops. That's great.
Right, and because it's kind of a pain to enter your own Reminders, but if you already have a subject heading that says, let's have lunch next Thursday at noon,
put that in
you
Reminders.
Can just drag it straight in.
Very clever. All right, time for our picks of the week. Thank you, Chris Breen. Let's start with you, Alex Lindsay. You have a pick for us today?
Yes, we've been talking about the maps and, you know, how much we like the old maps better.
Yes.
I would like to, my pick today would be QuickTime 7.
QuickTime 7 Pro. Talk about old. Talk about retro.
I just want people to know out there, you bought a computer and you can't figure out why you can't get it to cut and paste, and you can't get to some of the data and the tracks and everything else, and you don't feel like you should have to go all the way into Final Cut just to do that. You can, I don't know where you download it, but if you have old disks, old Mountain Lion disks, and you can get that little installer, even if you have an old computer, no one's really replaced it yet. We just brought it up because last week we used it a lot to fix a bunch of stuff, and we just realized, we were surprised it still worked on Mountain Lion. It does. And Apple has still never really fixed QuickTime 10.
So they still offer it for download. Version 7.6.6, here it is.
Is it available?
Yeah.
And then you can still for a long time, you had to have like the disk to download it. And when you try to run the installer, sometimes it says there's a newer one. So a lot of times we just copy the QuickTime folder over and then put our serial number back in. But it is, you know, it is still a... I wouldn't say that you should get it for viewing videos. So if all you want to do is view videos, QuickTime 10 is just fine. But if you want, there are so many tools hidden inside of QuickTime 7 to extract tracks out of your QuickTime, to recut your QuickTime. Like if you have the H.264 and you just want to cut it up into a whole bunch of little pieces, you can do that in QuickTime 7. Now, what I would suggest is someone listening, there's a huge opportunity for someone just to build an app that just replicates what QuickTime 7 did, because for instance, if you're doing I have an H.264 and I want to put them all up on YouTube, but I want to cut a 2-hour thing into 10 20 minute thing, you know, whatever, 10 little 10 minute things or whatever, and I don't want to recompress it, I just want to cut it up and put it out there, there's not a lot of good tools to do that I know of. And if there is, then someone should tell me, because we still use QuickTime 7.
Well, there's a reason I suspect that Apple continues to offer it.
Yeah, because it's really, really useful, and they've never put that functionality back into QuickTime 10. Not that I'm bitter.
Isn't that interesting?
So anyway, but I just thought I'd remind people that it still works on Mountain Lion, because it's great. And I wish someone would build a app that did that too.
And I just downloaded it.
There you go.
Because you can.
Just because you can.
Yeah. Chris Breen, you got a pick for us, something you like?
I do. It's an Mac application. It's called Air Server. And the idea behind Air Server is it allows you to use your Macintosh as a destination for AirPlay. So in this case, I've got my tablet here. You probably can't see it, but my Mac Pro is offered as an AirPlay destination.
Neat.
So what I can do is mirror the video from here onto my Mac.
That's
this
great.
This is one way if you don't want an Apple TV and you want to mirror stuff to a computer that way that happens to be connected to a television set, which is kind of a problem, that's one way to do it. For my particular purposes, I've been doing a lot of video lately capturing iPhones and iPads for lynda.com as well as for Macworld. This is how I do it. I mirror the display, which looks really good. It goes up to 1080p, mirror it to my Mac, and then I capture my Mac screen of what I'm doing on the iPad. The one thing that it can't do is show you your taps, so you don't get any kind of highlight that comes up. But otherwise, it shows you exactly what's coming up on your iPad, and it captures it beautifully. So if you need to do a screen capture of the video on your Mac, or the video on your iPad or your iOS device, that's the way to do it. It's $15, works really well. You don't have to configure it. You just launch the thing after you paid for it, and it's just up and running.
Who's it from?
Who are these people that make this thing?
It's from the App Store.
No, it's not. It's actually a Mac app. Is it on the Mac App Store?
I think Air Server. Let's see. Server's on there. Gee, it seems like the kind of thing Apple would not put on the App Store, but...
Yeah, there's the page.
Air Server. And it's from... Alien... What is it? Asianware? What does it say? I'm sorry. Could you tell me what the name of that?
If you go to Air Server,
where are you looking?
AirServerApp.com.
Yeah, AirServerApp.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, AirServerApp.com.
Thank you, sir. And then, Mr. Andy Inako, your pick of the week.
This is a really good resource for people like me who are not very good guitar players but would like to be better guitar players. It's called Guitar Toolkit. It's an app for the iPhone and for the iPad that is just a nice collection of very, very polished and well-designed utilities. What I really use it for are chord lookups. When I've downloaded some sheet music, or I've downloaded, like I said, look at the chorus for this song goes C, D minor, E flat, E flat, E flat. And of course, I don't know what they're talking about, but this app will let me look it up and I can see, okay, there's a C diminished. Oh my God, look where my fingers are supposed to go. I don't think I can play that. I'll pick something else that I'm actually capable of playing. But it also has a built-in tuner. It has scales. It has a built-in metronome. I like it a lot because it has a bunch of different instruments built into it. So if you're playing bass, if you're playing ukulele, if you're playing guitar, you can set it up so that it will give you the right chords for what you're doing. And so it makes things a lot easier. I don't play by ear, unfortunately. I do have to see this chart in front of me and figure out, okay, so it makes it as dumb as, I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. It makes it as dumb as, here is the fretboard. Here is where your fingers have to go on the strings. Do you think you can make your fingers do that? And so that's where the actual chords go. It's not cheap. It's $10, but guitar tools are a lot like clock apps in that there are a million of them, of which maybe three are any good. So there are a lot of tuner apps. There are a lot of chord apps. But this is the one that I've seen where everything is all in one, and each one of these tools is built really, really well. $10, not cheap, but worth it. If you go straight to this one, instead of spending $1.99 for this bad one, $2.99 for this bad one, it actually, I think, balances out.
I will not do a pick, but I will mention, because people were asking, yes, there is a new Apple TV update, and as far as I can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, it's the shared photo streams update. So you can now share photo streams using iPhoto, and those shared photo streams will show up on your Apple TV. Great way to share pictures of the kids with grandma, things like that, if she's got an Apple TV.
Yes.
Does anybody else know of other changes in the new Apple TV? That's the only other thing.
Yeah, they have. Can choose now AirPlay speaker destinations from within your Apple TV. You can rearrange third-party applications on the home screen, not Apple's apps, but that next row, next series of rows down. So you just point at your Apple TV. Click and hold on the select button, then the little app starts wiggling just like on an iOS device. Then you move your remote to the right or left or down. You can change the icon order there. It will also allow you to change iTunes accounts. So if your brother-in-law comes in and has a bunch of material on iTunes Match or some purchased items, you can enter that person's ID and then have access to their content on your Apple ID until you switch back to a different Apple ID.
So if you have a second or third generation Apple TV, you know, one of the little hockey puck Apple TVs, download software update 5.1. You get a lot of new things, it sounds like. I didn't realize.
It's a cool update.
Yeah, well worth it.
I tend to take a long time to do the updates on the Apple TV because it makes me do all my registration numbers again, like all the passwords.
Oh, I hope it doesn't do
and
that.
And so I'm always like, oh, I don't remember what my...
I don't want to do that.
So then I go, like, do I really want it? But listen, this one looks like it's worth going through the trouble.
I don't want to do that.
I know.
Alex Lindsay is an occasional visitor from the West?
I might even be here next week, too.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Where have you been and where are you going?
Oh, I love so many places.
You travel.
Yes,
travel.
I was actually in San Francisco last week. I was at Dreamforce.
We were working at Dreamforce.
Streaming Dreamforce. And
where are you going next?
Next, I think I'm going to LA and Denver next week, I think. And then
that's right. We talked about that because I'm going there for the Madonna concert.
I'm not going to Madonna concert. it is musical, but it's not Madonna. And then I'm bouncing around. Every week I'm going to be in a different city to do some stuff.
Man.
And
but we won't have you back next week.
I'm going to Rwanda later in the month. Cool. Later in October.
Cool.
So I'm going to try to log in.
Always welcome.
Love
to have you here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Chris Breen is the Mac Daddy, Mac 911 columnist at MacWorld.com. Great to have you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to actually see you, I think, a little over a week from now at there's the North Coast Macintosh Users Group gathering.
Ah, yes, we're having a little dinner. Tell us about that. That's only for people who are in Northern California, probably, but really. Kind of, I think there are a lot of these little Mac Expo events.
This one's an awesome one.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a nice little expo. It's sort of like Macworld Expo, smaller. So they have speakers. I'll be speaking there with a lot of other people. They have exhibitors there as well. One of the things I'm excited about is the night before, we're going to have a little dinner. And I believe we get to come over to Twit Studios and
poke
under the furniture.
We'll have fun. Good. Well, I'll see you when you come up for that. If people want to know more about the event, is there a website? I'm just looking.
I think if you Google NC Mug Mac Expo, you'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's coming up October 6th.
Message right over here in the on the
Mac Mind. Yeah, at the Petaluma Community Center. Yeah.
Where they play the movies all summer.
Celebrating the 19th year of it. Wow. They've been doing this a long time. I think MacComputerExpo.com, is that right?
Let's see. It's a great collection of vendors and great speakers, and it's just, if you're in Northern California or somewhere in California, it's definitely worth coming out.
MacComputerExpo.com at the Petaluma Community Center. And if you go to that, just come over to the Twit Brick House while you're there and say hi.
Famous last words.
We'll have our own little expo here. Thank you, Andy Iannacco. Andy's two-part review of the iPhone 5, three-part review of the iPhone 5 begins tomorrow, three parts, in the Chicago Sun-Times, starting with the photography. And people should go and look at your Flickr stream. Andy I is his username, A-N-D-Y-I on Flickr, to see the photos that you took with all of a real high-end Micro Four Thirds camera and iPhone 5, 4S, and some other cameras, Galaxy S3, to see which is the best. And you make your judgments before you read the article. Before the show, we were looking, and it wasn't. It's not obvious. I could tell which one.
I'll be posting one more photo set in a few hours. Self-portraits of myself to get skin tone. Not normal skin tones, but at least geek skin tones.
Pale geek skin tone.
It's very, very surprising. Now, I posted these a few days ago. Now, I myself do not necessarily remember what order I put these things in. So I'm finding it interesting to look at these and saying, gee, I don't know. I think these three are very, very close to each other. I think these two are almost identical, and I know that means that it's the iPhone 5 and something else, but I don't know what the other thing is.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything I learned from this is that how close all of these top of the line, including the iPhone 4S, phones are. I mean, they all have pretty credible cameras.
I will post the answer keys tomorrow. I did write them down, so I myself know. It's not as though this has been a complete waste of time for everybody. But.
Chicago Sun Times. Which one of these is an iPhone 5 picture?
Spot three differences and win the news.
Thank you, Andy. CWOB.com is his blog. We do this show 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays. That's 1800 UTC. You can watch live on twit.tv. Participate in the chat room. We appreciate if you do that. You can also come visit us live in the studio. If you'd like tickets for any of our shows, just email tickets at twit.tv. Tickets?
We have tickets?
No, there's no tickets. Did you guys get tickets? No, it's just imaginary tickets. Gold, special gold-plated tickets. Tickets at twit.tv, mostly to let us know when you're coming so we can put out chairs for you, but also so we can send you directions and all of that. Because we do love having a live studio audience. We have a great studio audience today. It's always good to have you.
I think we should make tickets.
We can make tickets.
Let's ask Lisa. Lisa,
we have the means.
Yes.
We give you a little special tickets.
Wouldn't you guys like tickets?
Yeah.
That said you were here?
Yeah. Special little tickets. So do come and visit. We love it if you do. If you can't watch live, you can always get on-demand versions, audio and video available after the fact. twit.tv/MBW. Thanks to our producer, Chad Johnson, for putting together a great panel and a lot of great stories for us to talk about. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time. Now get back to work, because break time is over.